good. I've listened to some of those, like his The Dead covers and his Jason Mraz covers. This kid is really good. And, like, you know, it's about time someone else from Greenville, musically talented, rises up, you know, because Evan McCain, well, I don't mean to disrespect Evan McCain, but it's Evan McCain.
Yeah, no disrespect. And just as Jim Rome says, whenever you say no disrespect, somebody's about to get big time disrespected.
You know, it's cool.
No disrespect to Edwin McCain, but come on, it's Edwin McCain.
It was cool 10 or 15 years ago, but...
It wasn't. It was good for hanging out with your girlfriend and making it rounding first base. You'd probably get off cut by second if you started singing I'll Be. But that's
I'll
it.
Be.
Exactly.
No crying shoulder.
Dad. It's all awkward when you try to go under the shirt, over the bra. Ugh. But it's all good when John Mayer plays, because, you know, chicks who love John Mayer are
slut. My shirt and bra, those will be off.
Exactly. Oh, man. By the way, have we decided what the avatar would be on this podcast?
Not Curious George.
Oh, that's my avatar, though. That's a good story.
I'm thinking Clark Gregg.
Not... Fisher King with Kyle Chandler from Early Edition.
Jack Bauer's like squeeze when he was working for an oil refinery for 2 weeks.
Aww. We could totally make that happen, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Aw, man. If we could make it Charles Logan for no absolute reason.
This has nothing,
to do with the Avengers. Just
Gregory Itzen. It's not even from 24. This is him from one of his random appearances on Covert Affairs.
Let's do season 2, like, DVD cover of Heroes.
I was looking yesterday at my shelf. I was like, hey, I still own season 1 of Heroes. And I looked around and I'm like, that's the only one I own. Then I, like, hit myself on the back, like, way to go, buddy. Nice job.
That's the only one you need to own.
Nice job. Way to not suck.
Oh, shit. Speaking of which, Chronicle comes out in 2 hours. I'm really debating if that's worth buying or should I just rent that if I'm unsure.
I saw a couple Facebook people, friends of mine from back home, like back in Winston-Salem, stuff that I guess have seen it early. They were like, it's all right. Like, probably be better if I wasn't watching a rip copy. I'm like, yeah, it probably would.
Well, yeah, that's the same thing like Adam said the other day. It was yesterday. When I was watching Thor, like, he had just gotten home with Sarah, and I had just popped in Thor, and they had only seen a bootleg copy, like a shitty bootleg copy, months ago, like when they were drunk, so they didn't really remember it. So, the hell of a lot of difference when you watch a Blu-ray surround sound than anything drunk. Like, I remember when I watched Iron Man 1, and then I saw a bootleg, like, Chinese copy, not the same. Subtitles.
Like when you watched Wolverine.
No, that's
before.
No, Wolverine Origins is totally worth watching if you can find.
Well, I have it.
The bootleg copy with the unfinished like effects. That's amazing. I'm telling you right now, everybody, if you have a friend or if you somehow illegally pirate or download, and I don't encourage it by any means, but you should totally find the Wolverine Origins unfinished copy.
I think it's official, Andy. We're never going to have a proper opening to this show.
What?
No, because you're telling the folks right now to go out there and try to find the unfinished copy so you can see, like, people on strings. Like, weird color schemes in the background of Wolverine Origins. That's the only way to make that movie passable, folks. I'm serious.
You got to have it.
You're good. Don't worry about it.
And to quote Ron Swanson in Parks and Recreation finale, you got to have at least like 11 whiskeys in you to get that going. Because then you can slap yourself a little bit and go, why am I watching Ryan Reynolds in a green suit costume?
Nobody did.
Oh, man. Again, it's amazing when you go from like one scene where you got Hugh Jackman stunt double flipping around on strings. And then the next scene is instead of him bursting through the door fighting on top of an 18-wheeler, it's like these dummy models that look like a commercial for ITT Tech.
University of Phoenix.
Oh, God. That's all they're missing is like a little logo somewhere in the bottom corner of that just to make it great.
Okay, so this is Certifiable Total Recall. Gentlemen, and this is just how we do. It's been since February, the end of February, that we've been back with you, and the reason why is because I've had some new responsibilities come about. Andy's been trained somewhere off near the beach in South Carolina as he was promoted. He's also been gambling, apparently, with Montel Williams down in Tupelo. We'll get to that in a minute. But
hey, that's way – that's a good story there.
So that's the bad news is it's been 4 months without a CTR. The good news is it's over. That wait is over. We figured it out. So we're going to be back with you every week going forward. And we've got a good one here to get back into the swing of things because of the Avengers. So we're definitely going to get to that here in a bit, Andrew. But here's Ray Romano. And here's the break and comeback. All right, what's happening, folks? What's happening, Andy? What's been going on?
I say we finally made the budget cuts we needed. So now we have the technology and the money.
Yeah, we fired Kyle.
And the budget to make this show happening again. What has been happening? Let's see. Getting in shape. I lost 10 pounds in the past month. Put a new boxing bag, a punching bag, and speed bag in my house. It's amazing how much that changes your life. Right now, to go out there and try to find the because then you just because yeah, because then it's not weird playing the Rocky music every day. You actually have a purpose for having the Rocky music playing in the background.
How many times? Either that or the Final Countdown.
Yeah, Hearts on Fire from Rocky IV, and occasionally you will catch me playing the theme music from the Transformers 1986 animated movie.
When the touch, I knew it.
Yes.
I know you like a book.
Stan Bush, baby.
Or something from Over the Top, Stallone.
Or the Kickboxer soundtrack. Yeah, exactly.
Damn right.
See, then big on that. Yes, I have been to the beach lately. That was a very depressing drunk story, which I don't really remember a lot too much of, and I probably shouldn't say that.
You said
hoping
this show's not going to be depressing.
No, it's not. It's not. What is depressing? What is depressing is, well, not depressing. About a couple weeks ago was my birthday. I decided to take a trip down to Tunica, Mississippi. And it was the last night I was there. I was playing in a small bounty tournament at the Horseshoe Grand Casino, Horseshoe Casino.
With a bunch of 80-year-olds.
Yes. I was probably the second or third youngest person by far in that whole city.
And you were what, 30?
Shut
up. No, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure how much older than you I am.
You're way older. Just know that.
I'm way older than everybody. A walking calamity.
So there I am sitting, and there's only like 35 people in this whole tournament. And that was a decent turnout because it's Tunica, unless there's a giant like worldwide thing going on at either the Gold Strike or, you know, Harrah's. There was nothing else really going on. So there's like 35 people. And about 10 minutes into it, two seats to my right, this guy sits down in a tight T-shirt and a navy like ball cap, like navy symbol and everything. And I look up, I'm like, is that Montel Williams in my head? And the budget to, and then I asked the guy on my right who's Middle Eastern and barely spoke half English. I was like, is that Montel Williams? He goes, who? I'm like, never mind. So then he gets up, he gets a drink, and I see his little like receipt for his payment of getting in the tournament, and it says Montel W. So I'm thinking that's a good sign that this is Montel Williams. And he sits down, yeah, talked to him a couple during a couple hands, and I think I flopped in one hand and got like a small chunk out of him. That was about it. But about 30 minutes next to him, talking back and forth, we get up, we split tables, and I finally ask him, like, I'm sorry, are you Montel Williams? Are you who I think you are? I kind of stumbled the way I said it. I was like, are you who I think you are? And he goes, and I'm really hoping it is Montel Williams, because I'm like, man, if it's not Montel Williams, I am a racist.
And you saw a placard that said Montel W.
I would feel really bad.
As a bald-headed, rather thin African-American gentleman.
I don't know if he was bald. He was wearing a hat, like I said.
Oh, okay, okay.
And again, Montel Williams, for those who don't know, he's in really good shape. Now, granted, there's stuff in his life going on right now. But, like, physically, on the outside appearance-wise, he's in really good shape. So I was like, man, that blender really works. That shit you see at, like, 1 a.m. in the morning. But anyway, so I asked him.
That S bomb again means we are explicit, even though we're trying to curtail that.
Yes,
Andrew in particular.
Are you who I think you are? He goes, who do you think I am? I go, Montel Williams? He goes, nice to meet you. And I try to put my hand out to shake his, which, by the way, he has a Kabbalah bracelet on, which kind of threw me off. But he's like, he pulls back and puts a fist out. He's like, I'm sorry, I've been coughing on my hand all day. I don't want to get you sick or anything. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And fist bump me and says I'm a nice guy. And
you fist bump Montel Williams in Tupelo, Mississippi at a random 35-head bounty tournament.
Yes.
What the hell is that?
He said it was nice meeting me. I was a nice guy, and that he said I was a good player and wished me the best of luck. And I was like, cool. And I will say this. I outlasted him. Someone else took his ass out, which made me mad. So I was like, man, that's my boy. We were close. I was going to find him on Facebook and Twitter and shit, man.
Probably still could. And he'd be like, who?
And then I asked the guy to my right Middle Eastern and barely spoke half.
Well, regardless, that's a good story.
Like, that was random. I was just like, what the hell are you doing in Tunica, Mississippi?
that would have been my question. It's very interesting that you're here playing in this.
So I'm thinking that's a good sign.
Whatever the hell this tournament is, considering he's played in the main event before.
And he sits down.
Multiple times.
Yeah. I mean, not that means you're a great poker player. It means you have a lot of passion and a lot of money.
I'll flop in one hand and got like
and a lot of blenders.
And have sold a lot of blenders.
Whatever the hell that is. But yeah, aside from that, just been kicking in the house, been remodeling, doing some stuff around here and there. But yeah, life's been good.
One other quick thing I was going to ask you about, because I saw your Facebook status updates and we talked about it a little bit more. And actually, we both kind of gotten back into the swing of something that we were really tight with for a long time and just hadn't paid as much attention to lately, and that's stand-up comedy. And that's led you back to thinking about possibly taking some improv classes. So, what's the story there?
Yeah, I'm thinking about pulling a Michael Scott. I want to take some improv classes at night. I want to go in and every scene that we do.
I'm taking improv classes at night.
I want to pretend. I want to pretend I'm like Michael Scarn, secret agent, kicking down the door with my like hand pistol. I'm gonna shoot somebody.
Oh, those were the days when the office wasn't embarrassing to actually admit you.
Are you who I think you are? He goes,
next week, folks, TV finales. We'll be talking all about what's been going on in TV, so we're not going to do it here. But suffice to say, the office isn't what it once was. So improv classes.
You know, it's like six classes, $150, downtown Greenville, South Carolina. I think it's going to be fun. It's at the Coffee Underground, which has been a staple around these parts for many years.
You're going to be doing like one-man shows, like wearing all black with light on you.
Like Just Jack? Yeah, I'll totally do that. Just Jack.
Kenan's to the left of him.
Or like Barney or How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. Nice meeting me. That's exactly the one.
Do nothing but a play and just say moist.
Yeah.
Moist.
Best of luck. I was like, cool.
And just spray guns, like spray water at people. Yeah. Do the robot. Hopefully, Jason Segal will not be sitting in the studio like wanting to slap shit out of me at the end. But, you know.
I was going to find him on Facebook and Twitter.
So, $150, six classes. Night classes. Do you have any idea who would be teaching it? Any kind of respect there?
It's a local group. They're from all parts. I think mainly from Clemson area. They've all taken theater. They've all done things between here in North Carolina and Broadway, stuff like that. But they're just it's a young group around my age. Yeah, my age, not your age. And you know, it's just
hilarious.
What it's just seems
hilarious.
Go on.
I go to college with 20 and 21 year olds, and those jokes just never stop. And now I'm talking to you, and you're but I kind of edited it on because to get over the socially awkward dealings of being around people that much, just younger than you early on, and not knowing where your common ground lies, where you can really make friends. I always would self-deprecate. As if I was Conan O'Brien, and always go with the, I'm old, how about this, and make jokes about it and everything else. So, like, they would make them or whatever, and now I've told people, I'm not going to make them anymore, so now they're making them.
So, you're not going to do the Conan O'Brien where, like, you just stare at them awkwardly for a few moments?
Or the Norm MacDonald where you stare at them with a weird smile until they get creeped out?
That's just Norm MacDonald in general.
Exactly. I didn't tell you it was from Weekend Update. I said Norm MacDonald, like, in daily life. He probably stands there and does the same thing to himself in the mirror. So improv classes and playing poker with Montel Williams.
What I would say to you, though, to blend in with your fellow students, is you need to do, like, in 21 Jump Street, you just need to one-strap it more often. And then what the kids do nowadays?
Speaking of which,
going on TV, so we're not going to do it here.
It's not really a segue, but speaking of which, and we're not going to get into a bunch of this because we're going to get to the main topic here in a bit. But 21 Jump Street's a damn funny movie.
Thank you.
You actually can see, but yeah, it was. It lived up to what you said. I think maybe in the last 30 minutes they tried to do a little bit too much, and it was a little too busy for my taste. They weren't able to just kind of slow it down. But that movie was very intelligently done. I enjoyed it a lot.
Barney, and hopefully they will be making a sequel.
Yeah, it seems like they will be, and it did well. Critical response was really good, too. And, you know, Channing Tatum, if his career doesn't die with this Chippendales thing he's doing.
No, unfortunately, I think there's going to be a lot of women and teenage girls who are going to pay the shit out of that.
How many times are you planning on seeing it?
Well, it depends. I mean, are they going to make like a collector's edition Blu-ray and regular Blu-ray and an extended cut? And are they going to make it one where like X marks the spot where like every time a scene pops up that has some kind of significance to the producers, they pop up? Then we're going to see.
But they're just this is it's a young group.
Commentary is important too. Wait, you're talking about the stripper movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
And you know, it's just
hilarious.
What?
Just wow. Hilarious. Yeah, very, very awkward. Battleship starts Friday. 21-year-olds.
You know what's really weird?
What's weird is I'm going to see it.
No, here's the thing. I thought until last week that was going to be done by Michael Bay.
Yeah, it looks like it is Michael Bay.
I really thought it was.
It's like Transformers and then there's water.
It's the same noises and stuff. It threw me off. And now, here's the thing, though.
I always would
Battleship is not the worst conceived idea. Let's bear this in mind. About 12 years ago, people thought it was crazy when they were like, they're going to make a movie based on Disney's ride at Pirates of the Caribbean.
So you're not going to do the Conan O'Brien where like you just...
Hey, look how that turned out. $4 billion later and 12 years later.
Battleship's not going to fail. I don't expect it to be all that great. I expect it to be better than the first trailer I saw. Just because it's like, okay, maybe this will be good popcorn, Independence Day-ish to some extent kind of stuff. And it's got Tim Riggins from Friday Night Lights in it, who I'm a pretty big fan of, so I'll watch that. But then here's the thing that negates everything. It's like Liam Neeson's in it, cool, even though he's made some questionable choices over the last 5 years. Taylor Kitsch is in it. Maybe a rising star there, despite John Carter and all that. But Friday Night Lights showed that you know that guy can have some talent. But then there's Rihanna. Who's in the movie? It's like she's not even good at what she's paid to do. She's not even a good singer. She's a horrible vocalist. Her range is not very great at all. So I'm not expecting her to be a tremendous actress either. And I don't understand why Rihanna's in the film. Oh wait, yeah, I do. Just to sell tickets. It's because her name's Rihanna.
And she's pretty, really and she's too, easy and on the eyes.
You know, she's sort of easy on the eyes. When she's the just thing he's doing. Vapid, disgusting crap that she sings about all the time makes her not very appealing to me at all.
Well, by the way, apparently I think Adele recently has lost weight and she has a boyfriend, which means her music's going to suck.
And an extended cut.
Well, she's already had a pretty good run.
Like Xbox,
yeah, I'm thinking those eight Grammys are pretty good.
Yeah,
I
think she's going to be fine.
We're going to see.
I think she can tap out. I think she can tap out.
You're talking about the stripper.
Yeah, she's peaked. Yeah. She just dropped the microphone. What? And then walk away.
Pretty much.
And just roll it out. But yeah, what's happening with me? Quickly, not that much, I guess.
Bullshit.
Nah, not much at all.
No,
I continued doing a Red Zone. Pretty much took over that show more than anything else because my co-producer and really the creator of the show moved on to different things. So I was hosting that, producing it, working with a bunch of people that want to get involved with that show later on. I've resigned from Revolution as a music DJ because I just don't have time. I became a television anchor during this year. The people at least that are listening to WKU, a lot of them have been a part of the Extra Point Sports show that I kind of now help co-produce and write and have anchored. Well, I guess it was six times I anchored it over the last semester. And now I'm doing an internship in Nashville with 104.5 The Zone with the Midday 180, which is the highest rated station in Tennessee. It's big time sports station, so I'm looking forward to that. And I'm doing some news and stuff locally here with WKCT. Actually started that today. Wrote some news that was read on the air. Did some really cool stuff there. I'm looking forward to getting out in the field, doing some reporting, learning more about the state, which is something I've neglected to do to this point. So all that's been going on, plus btbspodcast.com and Beyond the Box Score if you want to listen to sports. If you like my voice so much that you need to hear it another hour every week, Jeremy Brown and I, he's the guy behind Red Zone, who also works for IHS Radio here in Bowling Green. We do that show on a weekly basis. It's just as free as CTR is, because you people are cheap.
And I don't understand why Rihanna.
And I'm sorry, you're cheap. We want you to hear the show, and you're cheap. So
if you're not racist and you like my voice, listen to me instead.
She's sort of easy on
Jeremy Brown in this podcast.
Vapid, disgusting. You were talking about you went that you went to. I'm going to move on. You, yeah, you said you went on to Tunica to for your birthday.
By the way,
I invited you to come
I
up and
Adele
see
oh,
recently.
Oh,
she's
lost weight
with me.
And she has a boyfriend.
Well, yeah, that would have required me driving in a shitty car with shitty
she's
wheels.
Had a pretty good
by
car.
The way, just totally remember the Tunica story. I meant to tell you, and maybe I told you, but I haven't told people who are actually listening. If you're listening. It was the day after my birthday. I didn't drink at all my birthday because I was playing poker all day, and I just have an etiquette. I don't drink when I play. So my friend calls me out, and he's like, dude, how the hell do you not drink? We gotta make up for this. So we go to the bar, and with this other guy we meet from Atlanta.
Bullshit.
He was like a few years younger than me. He's a really good kid. He's a great player. And we were at a bar, and in a casino, you don't pay for your drinks for the most part, unless you pay for like the high class liquor. But you don't pay for anything, you just tip, whether it be the bartender or the waitress, whatever.
So I was hosting that.
Well, we go to this bar in the casino, and the guy cuts us off after two drinks because he's like, there's a policy you can only get a drink for every 20 minutes.
Because I just don't have time.
What
I became a television anchor
the
during this year.
We're explicit. Fuck.
Yeah, well, we're not in Vegas.
Exactly. We're in Tunica, fucking Mississippi, 30 minutes south of Memphis. So I get the grand idea of, hey, guys, I bet if we sat around at the slot machines, no one would hassle us because the waitresses wouldn't care, and they probably would want us to order more for their tips. So we go sit at the penny slots for a while, and at the penny slots, you insert your card, and you can actually pick your own drinks, and the waiter bring them out to you within like a few seconds. So that's when I began coming up with the idea of, and two stages. One, stage one, I hid my screen from my friends on each side. I told them to pick numbers 1 through 8 of the categories. There was like wine, beer, liquor, mixed drinks, margaritas, and so on. From those, we chose, like, if they chose a wine, then they wouldn't know they chose a wine, but then there would be like a choice like 5 or 6 wines. They'd be like numbers 1 through 6, and ergo, we just kept picking each other's drinks from that point on. Now,
because you people are cheap.
Here's the beauty of this game. It only took about 20
and,
bucks.
Sorry,
about so
cheap.
You think about it this way. It took about 20 drinks in us
so
at this point after
racist,
2 hours of drinking.
Like my voice,
where I finally came
instead.
With the idea of now we have about 20 drinks
Jeremy
in us
Brown
each.
In this podcast.
That
which
I was like,
obscene.
Well, you know, again, it was only $1 tip per drink. So now I had the grand idea of saying, hey, who's got 20 bucks? We all had 20 bucks apiece.
Well, yeah,
and
that
I was like, let's go
driving in a
implant
car with shitty wheels. By the way, just
real roulette.
To story,
so we go over
to
the roulette wheel. It's the minimum is like, I think, $10 or $5, whatever. Bet. So my two friends go, they put their money on specific numbers, and they lose.
I
being
so my friend calls me
weird,
and, he's like,
and I
disperse
my $20 between like evens and blacks and 1936 and shit like that. So I'm couple spins, like two spins into it. I'm from $20 to $19.
And we were at a bar.
So now one of my friends is like, hey, why don't you just put your money on a number and let's get the hell out of here? So I'm like, fine. Someone give me a number. Someone give me a number. The guy that we meet in Atlanta,
whatever.
He whispers over
well,
and he's like, 28. And
so
the guy
I cuts
take
off
my $19,
drinks, he's like,
put it on
28. You can only get a
start walking away from the
wheel
because I'm thinking, this is not going to happen. Let's just go get some more drinks. Boom, boom, boom. 28 pops up.
Yeah, well, we're not in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Now, to those who are unfamiliar with roulette, if you put your all your money on a single number, that's around a 30.
Hey guys,
he's some to him payout. So that $19 of my drunken money turned into $680.
Probably would want us to order.
So
which you then just blew on hookers.
No, being in Tunica, hell no. being a team player, I am. I'm like, you know what? It was a team effort. We all put in $20,
and the waitress
tipped the dealer/person who spins the wheel.
tip the cage that's person, the and then we all split the 660 stages, remaining one, into 220 apiece. So we all basically made $200 profit after drinking and me being
numbers
stupid.
One through eight of the categories.
I think that's
like
a pretty good story
beer,
compared to Montana
Williams.
Kids, the lesson here is drink
from
and
those,
play roulette.
Chose, like, if they
and
chose
kids,
a wine, then
that
they wouldn't know they chose a wine,
mother.
But then there would be like a choice like five or six wines. They'd play numbers one through six, and ergo, we just kept picking each other's
drinks. Talking
about?
From that oh, what's his
on.
Name?
Now,
no, I know what you're talking about. That's not what I was talking about. I was just trying to put something on the end of it because that's how they love to do with their false endings.
After 2 hours
and they're, ha-ha, pulling the rug out.
I'm pretty sure after this season finale that basically Ted is high the entire time telling his quote-unquote kids, a.k.a. imaginary kids, this entire eight-season, nine-season, whatever it ended up being, story.
Yeah, who's got no. $20?
So certainly true enough. Oh, yeah, the other thing, my biggest accomplishment maybe all of the summer is watching all five seasons of Friday Night Lights in 5 days.
So we go
while still taking part in four final exams and acing all of them.
Whatever.
Or watching, the nine seasons of Boy Meets World?
Money on
seven.
Specific numbers. And
I apologize.
I wouldn't know except that I watched the whole thing in about I guess it's about a 2 week span there. And we could do a whole, we will as a matter of fact, do a whole show on Boy Meets World at some point just so we can talk about Will Friedle and Eric Matthews and what the hell they did to his character.
So now one of my friends
the last two seasons.
Man, no we're not.
But the good news is we come back on a good note because we both have a major affinity for Joss Whedon, and not for the reasons that a lot of other people do because of Buffy and Angel and all that. I've not watched enough Buffy to even scratch the surface of that. Maybe someday that will happen. I've always thought I would try, and I'd never make it past like episode 10 before I break off and start doing something else. But because Firefly and Serenity and Astonishing X-Men and the other work that he's done graphic novel-wise and all this other kind of stuff, even Dollhouse, which we haven't really experienced.
And Toy Story 1.
Yeah, exactly. And stuff that his brother's done as well. It's a good thing that we can go back today and talk about this. And after Linda Richman brings us back, we're going to talk about the Avengers here in about 5 seconds here on Certifiable Total Recall.
Tip the cage person, and then we all split.
And this is Linda Richman.
So we all basically made $200 profit.
I really hope you have that sound clip, otherwise we're just going to use what you just did.
No, I've got the sound clip. So we're not going to be using what I just did.
The lesson here is
all right,
make
Andy,
my voicemail.
All right, Andy, so there was a pretty big movie.
That is How I Met Your Mother.
That released about 2 weeks ago. Well,
Think Like a Man. It beat Hunger Games.
No, that was like 4 weeks.
It beat Hunger Games.
It did good. It did good money. I'm not really surprised. It had a good cast. And Kevin Hart's one of the biggest names in Hollywood now, and definitely the biggest name, probably along with Louis C.K. and all of stand-up comedy.
But
the Avengers releases, and I think the trailers were getting people excited for a long time. And the film, if it had come out on its own, would have been great and all. But I think that the jumping off point for this discussion,
true enough.
Oh, yeah, as the I'm other looking thing, at my some of your notes here that you were nice and kind enough to send along to me, is the fact that Marvel knew what they were doing. They had a plan for years. This was not just a one-film, one-property deal. This was a super team-up after a succession of very successful films. And I remember asking you last week when we were just having a random conversation about Marvel in general. Where was the shift? Because there was a time, a long time ago, when I was in my 40s, when...
Oh, man, no, we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
But the good
when comic movies
come back on a good note,
were pretty much trash all the way around.
We both
like,
have a major affinity
and you've
Josh
made
Whedon
note of it, and we did it on our DC podcast. We went through
Buffy,
all of their films,
and
we've gone through all the superhero films on this show before
Buffy
in detail.
The surface of
remember
that.
How
maybe
every
that
Superman
happen.
Film had
I
Lex Luthor?
I would try, and I'd never make it past. Like,
we had Dolph Lundgren's Punisher.
Start doing something.
Yeah, all this. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Went that far back.
That's exactly right.
X-Men.
All that, and then of course you had the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles,
the kind of stuff.
You had the graphic novel. No. You had Tim Burton 1 and 2, and then you had whatever the hell that was afterwards, thanks to Joel Schumacher.
If you're interested in hearing more about our thoughts on Batman and Robin, there's an entire episode of this podcast devoted to our hatred for everything about that film. And at the end, there's a three-minute montage of all of Mr. Freeze's great puns that make me hate comedy to this day.
If I'm not mistaken, doesn't somebody own a set of Batman Forever glasses?
Yes, they do. Thanks again for that. For my birthday present.
No, I've got the sound clip.
You sent me four McDonald's tumblers. What I just did. All right, right next to me here on this show. So there was
that's
a pretty
the
big
greatest
movie.
Gift
dude,
of all
here's
time.
The thing.
Yes,
you made
me
is.
Open it live on
think
the
like
air.
A man.
Yeah. So
it beat
no,
that was like 4 weeks. Look, man, you're not going to see a whole lot of those and money. Yeah, I'm not really you didn't have to spend any money on my gifts since you already had two sets, so it worked out for everybody.
Biggest name,
and I really like the whole Two-Face, the coin making up the handle.
The
of one of their stuff.
Releases. You still have yet to drink out of them.
And I think
I've told you I'm never going to drink out of them.
For a long time.
That's very offensive.
You're like, I drink coffee. I'm like, you drink coffee
on its own been
out of transparent glass mugs? What are you, a communist? Like,
so
it's just...
The Riddler handle? Come on, that was made for you for drinking coffee. Come on.
No, you don't drink a dirty brown liquid.
Is the fact that Marvel knew what they were doing.
Blown glass.
They had a plan for years.
It's ridiculous.
Not just
a collector's item, so
one property deal.
No, this was
of course not team up. After a succession, they're glass mugs that exist.
And so you're describing you last week when you're just having a random
conversation about Marvel. This isn't like a TV show or Family Guy where we could insert the audio of you opening that
a
box
a long time ago.
And was in my
we could do that, as a matter of fact, because I have that audio clip.
Yeah,
exactly. I have that whole
when
thing.
When comically edit that
movies,
in, and maybe I will. Then this whole
pretty much trash all the way around. This last 30
like,
seconds, you're like, boy, what if we?
You've
yeah,
made
we still can.
We
still technology
DC podcast. But, we went through all.
So,
of
but again,
films,
there was a good long list of things that didn't work out.
I was such a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles fan.
Every Superman film,
you know, around age 9 and 10 when the first film came out,
we had Dolph Lundgren as Punisher,
just Ninja Turtles.
Watching the cartoons,
yeah
let's
right.
not
that's
ever
right.
talk
that
about that.
Back?
That's exactly.
We're gonna have
right.
to.
Especially coming out of the
all that,
the animated
the
one
Teenage
that
Teenage
we all
Turtles.
Liked.
Then you had the bat nipples.
Graphic novel
that we all saw together about 4 years ago.
Tim Burton 1 and 2.
That one was good.
Why not leave
it
alone? That was afterwards.
Like, why is it necessary to do this?
But again, there's just been
hearing more about
at that point there was just all superhero films we've just seen in a certain light
devoted to our hatred.
The turning
everything about that film.
We didn't really disagree, but you made me think
a
little bit
further back than I had. Where do you think the turning point was where all of a sudden the superhero films need to be taken seriously?
Doesn't somebody?
I think for me it was around the same time.
Yes, they
when Spider-Man and X-Men came out. I think somehow or other Marvel had the motif and they basically they gave the story, the character, and everything. They gave it a lot of heart. And it wasn't cheesy. It wasn't campy. There was like each one of them had like their own dark edge to it. And the casting for the most part was right for each one of them. And then DC just kicked the door down with Batman.
Batman
05.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a shift. One of them.
You mentioned Spider-Man and you mentioned X-Men. X-Men was first, right? That was like, what, 2000?
Coffee. I'm like,
there.
Yeah, I think so.
Because it was around the time I had just left working at a movie theater that started to run it.
Like,
the Riddler
and then, yeah, Spider-Man,
on,
I was living in Atlanta when that came
coffee.
Out. And that was
no,
one of the things you mentioned, the casting.
Dirty brown liquid.
The casting became so not like just throwaway action
glass.
Actors.
Just,
we weren't looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger anymore. We were looking at rising stars in Tinseltown. Whether it was a Hugh Jackman who was kind of an unknown property to that point. X-Men was pre-Swordfish, right? Or was it? No, it was post-Swordfish,
right?
Right.
So, I mean, Hugh Jackman been around, hadn't done that much. Famke Janssen, I mean, there was... There was some talent though around the whole around that whole property. And you look at Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire was you know, Oscar caliber, Kirsten Dunst, Oscar caliber. There was just a different feel because it didn't look like a throwaway picture. It looked like a big budget movie that was going to have a lot of thrills. But at the same time, you call it heart. If nothing else, it had depth.
Yeah,
there was something more to it, and then Nolan took it to another level.
Michael Bay just Ninja Turtles.
But on the note of Nolan, though, here's the thing: how much do you think DC is kicking themselves in the ass for taking so long and so many rejected scripts, just so much wasted like missed opportunities? To not have
like,
by now
do
done
I mean,
their own spin,
been,
similar to Avengers, and done a Justice League movie. Like, you've done your Superman movies, you've done your Batman movies.
And you've destroyed Green Lantern.
Like, we, exactly. We really and yet, disagree, you, but you, you keep you going back and forth on whether or not to do a Wonder Woman movie, TV show.
Superhero films need to be taken seriously.
Well, you couldn't just do a simple, like, just get a good cast, get a good, simple story,
and
do exactly what the Avengers did. Even if you don't do all seven or six, whatever, of the big Justice League members. Like, if you do, you're Superman, you're Batman, you're Lantern, you're Flash, you're Wonder Woman. And then add in your Aquaman, not was like,
Entourage Aquaman, but yeah, your Aquaman,
Martian
Manhunter,
like, and Cyborg via
like Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Exactly. Yeah. You sprinkle them in, but like, give them enough to do and enough screen time to make them relevant. But yeah, like, how could you not have done that? Because like, to me, I think like, if you take the core of the Justice League and the core of the Avengers,
somewhere in there.
Who can make better separate movies? To me, it's Justice League.
At a movie theater
I really, I mean,
run it.
Beforehand.
And then, yes, Spider-Man.
If you take away what the individual Avengers movies have done,
I think you could have done that much. Not just throw away action actors.
More easily with the Justice League members because people know who Batman are. Just off, like, my roommate's 3-year old knows who Batman is.
An unknown property to that point.
You know, people know the Wonder Woman, so people know the Superman symbols. You know, like, if you throw, like, before 6 years ago, if you threw up the symbol for, like, Iron Man's chest plate, people would have been like, what the hell is that? Or if you threw up a hammer, people would be like, very few people would be like, oh, it's Thor. And yeah, you know, Thor is a mythological god, and he's been in Norse tales, but not everybody knows it. He's not mainstream, he's not popular.
You know why I know Thor? Like a big budget movie that was going to have a lot of thrills. But at the
same
time,
thank you, Elizabeth Shue, also in CSI right now. But still,
you know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The girl wearing the helmet, and then Nolan.
Yeah, and then she's like, they bump into that dude who's like supposedly Thor later.
On the note of Nolan, though, here's the
thing. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not super mainstream.
He's kicking themselves
in the ass. You know, Hulk's been around for here and there. People know
so many rejected scripts.
No Hulk, because he's just, you know, he's a big green dude. But you know what I'm saying? Like, the Justice League in DC, they could
have
had that moment and shot way before
the Avengers.
If they had done Batman right in the 90s, if they had done Superman right in the early 2000s, Bryan Singer, they could have easily beat Marvel and the Avengers before the Avengers got to the punch in 2012.
Movie,
no,
TV
I agree.
Show.
I mean, think about the combined history and the
just
lore
do a simple,
of all
like,
those
just
DC
get a good
universe
cast,
characters.
Get a good simple story
of all the main Justice League characters.
Do exactly.
I mean,
what
Superman
the Avengers
goes back.
Even if
what,
you don't do
years?
All seven or six, whatever of the big,
something
yeah, roughly
like
around Justice League family. Yeah,
and
like,
then
if
Batman
you do,
obviously
you're
starts
Superman,
in
you're
Detective
Batman,
Comics.
Your Lantern, your Flash,
long, long time ago. That was like 40s, yeah,
not
45 somewhere in there. And obviously Wonder Woman and some of the others came a little bit later, but yeah, I mean, there's so much history.
And
all guys behind
exactly.
those characters.
You sprinkle them in, but
you
give
DC,
them enough to do
DC
and enough screen time to make them relevant.
They did put some
but
decent
yeah, like,
animated
how could
features
you
out
not
there,
have
which we've
done
talked
that?
About on
because,
previous
like, me,
episodes in terms of the DC
think,
Universe
like,
features. But other than Nolan's film, we've gone
Justice
back
League
and said, look, Superman
Avengers,
Returns was sort of a missed opportunity.
Who can make better separate movies? To me, it's Justice League.
That really they couldn't afford if they were going to ever try and do a super film.
Beforehand.
And cash in on it at
the
right time. And Green Lantern was a debacle that made us both tear up.
And I'm still really skeptical on what I've seen so far on Man of Steel, which is almost nothing.
Yeah, like, a couple pictures.
The Justice League members.
Here's the thing that scares me.
Know
is
who
like,
Batman
you think by now like,
my
they would announce or tease that there would be some kind of
Batman
teaser
is.
At the Dark Knight
right.
Rises. You know,
people
yes.
know the one woman, so people know
but there's something.
Superman,
is it not me? Like, if you
okay, like before
they've been teasing all the Avengers movies
for
years and years now.
Like Iron Man's chest
they knew what they
plate,
were gambling
like,
with, and
that?
It was a high risk. But obviously,
hammer,
look at this. 2 weeks into it, it's made
like, oh,
$1 billion
and yeah,
worldwide.
You know, Thor is a mythological
the
god,
like 13th or 12th movie
tales,
of all or 11th movie of all time to make $1 billion. Period. And it's only in the second half.
I think globally, it took to get it.
Yeah, a high risk gamble, and it's a well paid off. I hope to God
this movie beats
right now, but still,
Transformers: Dark of the Moon, the number 6 movie, highest grossing. Of all time. Are you fucking kidding me?
Like they bump into that dude who's
yeah,
like
no
supposedly.
How long were they in that city?
But yeah, but you know
an
what I'm saying? Like,
at the end of that film. We were always
but,
bitching and moaning
you know,
about
you know, Hulk's been around from here and there.
The Fallen.
People know
all that whole desert
so
chase scene.
Just, you know, he's a big green
dude.
It
took like a half
hour. Saying, like,
that was
Justice
nothing
League
compared to
DC.
It took them 10 minutes to fall off the skyscraper.
Way before the Avengers.
No shit.
Like, if they had done Batman right in the 90s, if they had done Superman right in the early 2000s, Brian Singer, they could have easily beat Marvel and the Avengers.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The
only thing you look at, there's not
going
to be any tease to Superman and Batman.
No, I agree.
There's just not. Because that's just not
history
in Nolan's way.
Of all those DC
Chris Nolan's
universe
not
characters.
Making advertisements for other
of
films.
Of all the main
Chris
Justice
Nolan's
League
making
characters.
His own
I
career.
Mean, Superman goes
he's making his
what,
own films,
years?
His own pieces of art. And it looks like
yeah,
DC's
right,
just not
family, yeah.
And then Batman
as
obviously starts in Detective Comics.
On their entire catalog.
Long,
they just
long
think,
long
this is a comic book
that was
movie.
Like
here's 40s, the Flash.
Yeah.
And they
like
could just throw it out there.
Somewhere in
there. At some point,
and
you look at Marvel's strategy.
Came a little bit later, how, but yeah, I mean, there's
we
so
talked
much
about this numerous times,
so
not necessarily on this podcast,
but
certainly as friends,
DC,
just in life. That moment at the end of the first Iron Man, when you see Nick Fury, and you hear Samuel Jackson say, I'd like to talk to about the Avengers
film,
we've initiative,
gone back
and it cuts
and
off. You're
like,
holy shit, Marvel has
this opportunity.
Kind of like this
that,
recent
that
Avengers
really
movie, and they show Thanos. And by the way, spoiler
film.
Alert. By the way, if you
and
haven't seen Avengers
at
this
the
point,
right time,
fuck
and
you.
Green Lantern
yeah,
was
I've seen it three
that
times.
Both
what the fuck
up.
Is wrong with you, people?
Man, I'm still
twice.
Really
that movie's
on what I've seen so far on Man of Steel, which is almost nothing.
Yeah,
it's everything you want it to be.
Here's the thing that scares me. Is like, you think by now,
Marvel
would announce or tease that there would be some kind
of
teaser at the Dark Knight. Which
you've got
rises
time.
With
Google him, find
but
him.
There's something.
He's
is
awesome.
Is it not me? Like
he's
okay,
on Yahoo right now.
That.
That's how
they've been teasing
this.
All
yeah.
Avengers movies for
he's
years.
He's a
years
beast.
Now,
you can find pictures.
They knew what they were gambling with, and
but,
it's high risk.
It was just
but
cool that they did that. And then
look
they
at this.
Threw that
2 weeks into
scene
it, it's
very
made
end,
$1 billion
get that,
worldwide.
Don't really
the like 13th and 12th movie of all or 11th movie of all time make $1 billion
because that was classic.
Only in the second week,
you could have taken the characters that were in that scene out
to get it.
Yeah, high risk gamble, and it's well paid off.
And
I hope
just
to God,
Wash,
this movie beats
and all of them doing the
Transformer,
exact same
Dark
thing.
The, moon,
look,
the number six
look
movie, highest
precisely
of all
the
time.
Same.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's what we got out of the Avengers. Joss is
yeah,
just so.
How
good
long
at
were they in that city?
Multiple characters on screen.
An hour
at the end of that
in
film. Slice
we were
of life situations where he doesn't have to overdo
about
it. And he nailed it.
Revenge of the
There's
Fallen.
So good balance.
All that whole desert
first
chase
off,
scene.
To re- mm-hmm.
We took
we're
like a half
get
hour.
To the whole
that was nothing compared
yeah,
to it. It took him 10 minutes
but
to fall off
back,
the skyscraper.
To the topic of,
yeah, no
of you were talking about the first Iron Man movie.
So, yeah, obviously.
And I read this in Entertainment Weekly
just about any record it can.
Weekly recently, but
like
Chris Hemsworth
will,
and Evans both said
yeah,
that
no, you're
for
right.
them,
the only thing
if it wasn't
look,
for Robert Downey Jr.
Team,
and the success
Superman
of Iron Man 1 with Favreau, they probably would not have done these movies and
Chris
probably
not
have gotten together the way it has. And to them, like they joked around calling Downey Jr. like the godfather
of
this whole thing.
And
it
looks like
hard
DC's
to disagree
just
because,
not nearly as
well,
focused
and you can think, here's the thing.
On their entire
if you're Robert Downey Jr., who
think,
is,
right, this is
I've made no
movie,
bones about
Flash.
It, one of my favorite actors of all time, has been
at
for
some
over
point,
15 years.
At Marvel strategy,
I just,
how,
he never would have done it had the quality of
times,
guys like Alfred
on this
Molina,
podcast, but certainly as
Tobey Maguire in life, and the people
that
you mentioned back
at the end of the first Iron Man,
the original Spider-Man, Spider-Man 2, all that kind of stuff. Had they not done it,
and
you hear Samuel Jackson
it,
say, I'd like to talk to you about
the caliber
the
and an Oscar
and it cuts off. You're like, holy from a long
shit,
time
Marvel
ago,
has
his role in Chaplin.
Kind of like
Robert Downey Jr.
recent Avengers movie, and they show
done Iron Man to begin with. It's the same effect as Kiefer Sutherland doing 24.
Fuck you.
Open
yeah,
the floodgates for
times.
People like Glenn
what the fuck
Close
is wrong with you people?
Twice
and really
I'm
talented Hollywood
explicit.
Actors to say, you know
anyway,
what,
yeah,
TV
no, it's,
can
it's,
be a vehicle on a really grand scale.
We'll talk more
and
about
all of a sudden
it
they were able to get
a bit, but
Marvel
had a
actors
plan.
And
you
open
Thanos.
Opportunities. So if
and
you look at it in a similar
is,
vein, Robert Downey Jr. was trailblazer that introduced potentially A-list celebrities into
a
structured mass conglomeration of all these superhero films. And all of
that
started with
Tobey
Maguire and then Christian Bale and all these incredibly talented actors. But yeah, but the thing, here's
the
thing, they said they wouldn't have done the movies. Had it not been for Robert Downey Jr.,
like you could
have taken the
characters
in that
scene
out, wouldn't have done those movies.
Put Jane and Mal.
But they knew from the product they had
Wash
while it was filming
the
and Favreau's work, they knew, like, holy shit,
as what we got out of
this
the Avengers.
This could work.
Just
like,
so
it was probably
some
like
managing multiple
characters idea back
on
in someone's
screen,
mind, pitching into Favreau.
Slice
was,
of life
by the way, that's amazing
to
me
to overdo it
to think, like, How much time and effort and behind the scenes puts it in? Because, like, Favreau probably had his idea, but then some executive probably threw in the idea of, you know what, if this goes well, think about the opportunity of more movies like this, and we do the Avengers. And then, like, he has to write in, like, Chris Hemsworth has to write in Scarlett Johansson, he has to write in, you know, Nick Fury, but to add on to his work, or maybe that was him, I don't know, but
they probably would not have done these movies.
I can't have not gotten give more applause to them. Like, they joked around calling
half the point out there.
Downey Jr. Like the genius behind all of that. All the puzzles, all pieces, this whole entire puzzle has led to this moment.
Well, no, here's the thing.
It has, and to Downey Jr.'s credit,
I've made no bones about it.
He has not come out and said, I don't want to be typecast. 15 years.
Fuck Typecast, man.
Typecast is the biggest. He never would have done it had the quality is, of it's guys such like a Alfred Molina.
Dead. Okay, like Hugh Jackman. Toby McGuire. Hugh Jackman after X-Men 2 or 3 was like, I'm not ever doing another Wolverine movie. Yeah, fuck Spider-Man, you. There's a lot Spider-Man of money behind your ass. Stuff. You're going to do whatever the fuck they tell you to do.
The thing about it is, it's an actor credibility if you're making good films.
Like, from a long time ago,
Hugh Jackman's career wasn't destroyed by making Wolverine.
Robert Downey Jr.
made his career.
Never.
Then he hosted the Tony Awards and they showed just how much range he actually had as an actor.
24,
and it didn't matter.
Opening
floodgates
for people
like
Glenn Close. If you're confident in yourself, and
why
really
not be
talented?
It's like, yeah, I don't
want to
be typecast
as
TV can be as a star in a film franchise that's going to average somewhere around $900 million per film.
Better actors. Mm-hmm.
It's like, what are you thinking? So if like, you look at Kirsten Dunst didn't want to be typecast as Mary Jane. Well, we didn't want you to be typecast as
potentially with your little teeth. No, we really didn't.
A-list celebrity.
And the thing is,
that's your issue. I don't have that issue.
Into
and the thing is, like, think about it this way: by the time it's all said and done, in like 10 years, Downey Jr. will play Iron Man.
And all these incredibly talented
six or seven,
actors,
some capacity or
five. Yeah, but the thing here's the thing:
if you include like his brief appearance in the Incredible Hulk,
Jr. and the success
you know, with
of
Ed
Iron
Norton,
Man, Marvel wouldn't have done those movies.
Is that going to hurt his legacy?
The product they had while it was
it's
filming
a big part of his legacy,
and Favreau,
but it's not going to kill his
they
legacy.
They knew,
hurt
like,
no,
holy
if
shit,
you make good films and you're talented, you're going to survive. The only person that was really talented from all these indications and all that got typecast and just never got out of this deal was John Stamos.
And you read like article how much after article, like time and effort and behind the scenes
that time
puts in because like Favreau probably had his idea, but then some executive probably threw in
the
idea of you know what,
Hollywood.
If this goes well,
so
think about the
so
opportunity
incredibly talented,
of more
do
movies
anything.
Like this, and we do
but
the
then
Avengers.
People saw him as
and then like he has to write in like a black
because they could never get out of that.
Scarlett Johansson.
They also saw him as one half of the Rush Hour Renegades. Thank you.
Or maybe that was him. I don't know. But
the original Rush Hour Renegades.
Yeah, I can't give more applause to.
Is Downey Jr. typecast as Sherlock Holmes?
No.
Yeah, no. Like,
just
is he typecast as Iron Man?
All
no,
all
but he does
puzzles,
have a generation
of
kids
whole
that are always
going to
go see every film
moment.
He does because he was Iron Man.
It has, and
same
to
reason
Downey
that a bunch
Jr.'s
of people.
Credit,
well, that's not
he
a good
has
example
not
because Mark Hamill didn't do anything.
Well, fuck typecast.
Same thing you said.
Typecast is the biggest.
Do you think like that shit's 9, 10 year olds today.
Dead.
For them,
okay, like Jackman,
when they get old, our age,
X-Men
10, 20 years,
like, I'm not ever doing another Wolverine.
The Avengers.
Movie. Yeah, fuck you. There's
and everything
a lot
that led to
the
Avengers.
Ass,
and no, that does not include Ang Lee's Hulk that came out prior to Iron Man. You leave that alone.
Like, what a great scene that was, though. When
you leave that alone!
When you see young Bruce Banner staring in a mirror in a bathroom like a scene out of Teen Wolf.
How much range he actually had as an actor.
You leave that alone in the
$3
bin at Big Lots.
Leave her alone. Why not be? It's like,
but yeah,
I don't
no,
want to be
yeah.
typecast
do you see
as,
the
a,
Avengers
as a star in a film franchise that's going to average somewhere around $900 million per
the youngins
film.
As their star.
Like, what do you think?
We had a plan, like, and we're
Dunst
still going
to fall
through
some
point to do a trilogies podcast.
Well, we didn't want you to
and
be
a multiple series episode.
With your little teeth. No,
we
were going
to do that. But I had long tried to figure out what franchise corresponded
all
to what.
Done.
And,
like,
and I always believed that Pirates of the
10
Caribbean
years. Downey Jr. Would
always
Iron
reminded
Man
me of Indiana Jones.
Six or seven, some capacity.
And just
probably.
In tone. Not obviously,
include,
not story-wise,
like,
but just in sort of tone.
In the Incredible Hulk.
I don't know that the Avengers qualifies,
you know,
so we
Ed
haven't
Norton.
Seen enough yet. If
I mean,
they make 3-4 Avengers films, all of them are
is
fairly
that
high quality.
Hell
they tell
no.
this big, elaborate, epic
it's
story that continues
legacy,
and ends
but it's
extremely
not
well,
kill
which Josh is involved,
no,
obviously,
if you make
will,
good films and you're talented,
then maybe
you're
we can have that discussion.
The only person
it might be
that
too soon,
really
but I told you that I felt like when
all
I was
these
watching
the
Avengers,
and got typecast,
I had the same feeling that I would imagine I would have had the first time I saw Star Wars in the theater, because just something about the way the score developed, when the music was used,
just
going to
be the
man in Hollywood.
It was just the Avengers so is not skilled, made or so broken by talented, could action. Do anything.
It's made
but
or broken by these wonderful scenes because they can never get out of that.
One-on-one,
they also
where they
saw
have these
one
dialogue
half of the Rush Hour Renegades thinking
that are so well
the original
executed.
Rush Hour
they're funny.
Renegades.
They have clever
yeah.
lines. They have so, memorable stuff in them. And even
is
three characters from time to time as well.
But no.
They
is
do it so well, and it reminds you. You see certain things. You see, like Scarlett Johansson talking
every film
to
he does because
Loki,
he was Iron Man,
and everything
same
else.
That a bunch
it
of people,
reminds you of like Leia
well,
talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi
because Mark
or
Hamill
something like that.
Exam.
It's just it's something about it that really made me feel
okay, so,
like we were watching some kind of an epic on the level of Star Wars.
For them,
and by the money that it's made,
our age and 10, 20
it's hard to deny that that film is
the Avengers. And everything that led to the
don't
Avengers.
You classify
and,
that though,
and
like
no, that does not include
the Avengers
Ang
movie
Lee's
by
itself
that came off prior
as
to Iron Man. You leave that alone.
Don't
what a great scene
Steve
that was,
Iron Man
though.
One, Iron
you
Man
see that
Thor,
alone.
Cast,
you see
Incredible
Bruce
Hulk.
Banner
you include all that, like
in a mirror in a bathroom,
as part of
like
the whole saga mythology of the Avengers.
You leave that alone.
Yeah.
$3
yes.
Big Lots.
Even though
leave her alone.
The Avengers does begin.
No. Yeah.
Accidentally because of Loki. Just like it does in the film, that they, you know, that's how it worked out originally in print.
The youngins,
so
as their Star Wars.
It's
we
not
had
really
a plan,
mythology,
and
we're
just
all set up.
To do a
and they had
podcast,
history to build on
and a multiple
series
story.
Episode.
Where Whedon took
and we are going
to
do
major
that.
But
Avengers
I had long
plot lines
to
from the early days of the comic and weaved them into
franchise
one
course
narrative.
To what.
But
and I always believed that
yeah,
Pirates
I mean,
the
mythology, absolutely.
Always
because, you know,
reminded me
they
of
tried
Indiana
to write,
Jones.
Like, E.T., the Green Planet,
and
all
just
these other kinds
of
books
not
to explain the mythology of E.T.
just in sort of tone.
After the fact,
I don't
they
know
came out,
that
I actually
qualifies
one
we haven't
those,
seen
unfortunately.
Enough yet.
If they make three, four Avengers
kid,
films, all of them are fairly
bad,
high quality. They tell this big,
but
elaborate epic
they had
story
so much
to
draw upon
because
well, which if Josh
the Avengers
involved,
starts, these characters
will,
show up on the screen,
then maybe
and you have that discussion.
Might be too
from
soon,
the movies
but I told
that
you
that
I
you haven't
like
even had to do any other
research.
Avengers.
Marvel's already done it for
I had
you over the past 4 years with all these films
that I
put out.
I would have had.
So that was just
the first time I saw Star Wars
in the
theater.
Inherently,
just something about the way the score
and then they put somebody
when the music was used,
who can handle
and in fact
multiple characters.
With the greatest
the Avengers
of ease
is not made
and
or
grace
broken by
and
action.
You
it's
get
made
what you got.
Broken
but
by these
the fact
wonderful
that they
scenes
can show Iron Man
of
underwater,
two characters,
one on
just
one,
repairing
where
the
they have these
dialogue trees
for Stark Tower. That
and
are
there would be applause
so
in the
well
theater
from
when
start
you
to
saw
finish.
His funny.
Just,
they have
just the
lines,
wrist.
They have
before
memorable
even saw
stuff in face.
And even
because
three characters
knew what they were watching.
But
that is certainly
they
an
do
advantage
it so well
that, again,
DC you, you
has already blown
things,
their opportunity
like
to
Scarlett
do the same
Johansson
thing.
Talking to
mm-hmm.
would be my take on it. And
the thing about
Whedon,
though,
it,
too,
it
is that he has
of, like, Leia talking to Obi-Wan Kenobi
for,
or something like that. It's
and
just,
I said this
it's
a second ago. Like, he gives a really good balance
really
for every single person.
Like
not
we're watching some
one character
kind of
is going to overshadow
the
entire
and by the money that
you know, cast.
Made.
You know, like, I read
hard to deny
before the Avengers came out that Whedon felt as if Cap was the focal point of the movie because
the Avengers movie by
for him,
itself, as
it's 2 weeks after.
Don't include
he just
Iron
got
Man,
out of
Iron
the events of Thor,
America,
Cap,
the movie.
Incredible Hulk.
You know,
you include all yeah. that, like you know, World
as
War
part
II
of the
was
whole
just
saga,
ended. You know, he had just lost
Avengers.
Everything in his life, and you jump
yeah,
later, like 70
it,
years, and he's totally lost in a new world.
The
right.
Avengers
so,
does begin.
To me, it didn't feel that way at all.
It
actually, to me,
Loki,
felt really good balance between
like
him, Iron
that,
Man.
You know, that's how it worked
you know,
out
a little bit of Thor here and there, and then like a lot
so,
of it was great scenes with the Hulk.
Really
and then
it was just.
Here's the thing: did you notice this?
And they had
every single event
off this original story
had some kind of
three major
one-on-one time
plot lines from the early. Days of the comic and weaved
some
them
kind
into
of grudge
one
or reason to go at
narrative.
Loki. Like they
but,
had a scene or a moment,
yeah.
With Loki,
I mean, the
which is great
because
you don't really get that
because you're
kind of big ensemble movies
or
like you know
E.T., the green
team
planet,
kind of movies.
Well, it's hard to do because you're expecting fights.
The mythology of E.T.
Every time these characters are
after
screen,
the fact,
the best
they came
example
out,
at least to me,
those, unfortunately,
has to be well. There were
back
two.
When I was a kid, and it's
Cap
really bad, just as
you
would expect.
Early on, when
they
had
so much to draw upon,
in a really
because
cool moment when you had
the
old
the, Avengers
the old man
starts,
stand
his
up and say
show up on
there
the screen,
will
and
like
you
instantly
recognize
them
making
kind of
the
illusion
movie
to Hitler
or
done.
Just
you haven't even had to do
general,
any other research.
People that are
Marvel's
pure
already
evil.
Done it for you.
But
over
the best
one-on-one
scene had to have been
out.
Black Widow.
So that was just an
just because of everything that went into it, and you got to see a range of emotions from both characters, even though they were trying to manipulate one another.
That
it just bailed out. But yeah, you get
the greatest of ease.
A lot of scenes
where you get these characters together,
and
you even have Loki.
You get what
Thor,
you got.
But
finding
the
common
fact
ground.
That they can show Iron Man
at different
underwater.
Times. You have that. Yeah, that's
just
you're
making a good point
because
I hadn't
even thought about it. But you have
Stark
the Iron
Tower,
Man scene, obviously,
and there
when
would
Tony's
be applause
talking
in
to him.
The theater
when he's
when
threatening
saw
him.
His drink and just the wrist before he even
you.
Saw his face. Because people
all
knew
off.
What
no,
they were watching.
The thing about Whedon
that
is
certainly
and
an advantage.
He does a
that again,
really good job
DC has already
giving
blown
justice
their opportunity to do the
female
same.
Characters and heroines.
Yeah, would be my sure. take on
he
it.
He doesn't make them just bimbos
the
or just like one
is,
dimensional.
He has an
Angelina Jolie for like and I'm a badass.
He gives
character,
a really good
it.
Balance for
you know, Saturn and whatever. Like
there's a lot of depth.
One character is
going to
overshadow the entire
in her file.
Right, dirty laundry was that she wants to make.
I read
before the
Avengers came out
like
that
she manipulated Loki
as if
when
Cap
he was manipulating
was
her
the focal
in a
point of the movie because
like her emotional tie with Hawkeye and it wasn't
it's 2 weeks after
romantic thing. It was just
genuine
like they're friends and you know they're really close.
Yeah,
and it wasn't like oh my god,
there
were
two
just ended.
There's nothing.
You know,
like,
he's
cool.
just lost everything.
Like
his
it shows, like
you
know,
jump start later, like
character.
7 years, and he's totally lost in a new world.
When she was teaming up with Cap, when she rode the
to
little,
me,
like,
it didn't feel
thing.
That way at
that
all.
Was bad.
It actually, to me,
right.
felt really
but
good.
He always
balance
has
with
a
him,
knack
Iron
that,
Man,
with, like Buffy,
you know, a little
and
bit
of
Thor here and there,
with,
and then
you know,
like
Zoe
a lot of
on
the show
great
there.
Scenes with the Hulk,
and then
obviously,
well, not
here's the thing. Did you notice
River on there?
Every single event, like he makes these film characters so strong and powerful. And
one-on-one
they're
time
subtle
or,
at the same time. Like they really
some
have
kind of grudge
strong
or
presence,
reason
and they can hold their own. With, like
they had
a
scene or
a
moment
with Thor,
you
which
know,
is great
because
you don't really get
Iron
that
Man,
so
on
and these kind of big
another thing is he
movies,
takes
or, like,
them out of their
you know,
traditional gender
team kind
roles.
Of movies.
Well, it's hard to do because you're expecting
you
fights.
With.
It's just a natural thing that you see Black Widow.
Best example,
outsmarting the people that supposedly have her tied up in a great opening.
The Cap scene
salvo after the actual Avengers logo runs.
In a
but,
really cool moment
hey,
when
go
you had
back
the old,
Serenity.
The
old
Who's
man
the
stand up
star
and say
mechanic?
There will always be men like you.
Oh,
kind of
on Firefly?
Or just
yeah, exactly.
Kaylee. General, you know,
yep.
people that are pure evil.
It's always
but
a
the best one on one scene
had
to have been Black
saving
Widow.
The world. It's not some Billy Badass.
Just because of everything that went into it and you got to see
ripped
to
shreds
and holds
a bunch
of
guns.
No,
it's
a high school.
Even though they were trying to manipulate one another
and stuff like that.
It's not done like to beat it in your face or anything. It's just
a lot of scenes where
the way it's done, it makes it look like it should be that way.
You never even
finding
question
common
that
ground.
There should have been a different decision
at
made.
Different times. And you
the
have
females
that,
are
yeah,
never
you're,
just
you're making a good point because
eye
I
candy.
Didn't thought about
Which,
it. But you have the Iron Man
they
scene
always
obviously
are beautiful.
Tony's talking to him.
When he's threatening him,
he's really talented.
And they have incredible. We've used
and
depth now three times, but that's really a really good
off.
Example.
No, but
again, Marvel
is,
gave him a lot
and,
to work with.
He
with
does
Black
a
Widow
really
because
good
she
job
does have a lot of history, but he treated it with the
female
utmost respect
and heroines.
And really yep, showcased.
He doesn't make him just bimbos
that character
just
where
one
they could make
a
Black Widow movie and make good money with it just based off the way she was portrayed.
And that's it.
The
you know, I'm sad. I think you
whatever.
Could
like,
really,
there's
if
a
you
lot
did a Black Widow
behind Black
movie,
Widow,
I think
she
talks
in
about
the
wrong hands.
Red,
it looked like her fault too.
Right. Very
dirty
true.
Laundry
which
was
just like
hated
that
for
movie.
The fact that again,
just,
like
you know, a bunch of flashbacks,
Loki, or like
a like
a Bourne
ripoff,
her
a bunch of flashbacks,
and a lot of
you know
unsureness,
like emotional
you know,
time with
Hawkeye, and it wasn't a cheap.
I
want to
you know
make different changes in my life. Blah blah blah.
Do you think you could make a Hawkeye slash Black Widow
really close? And it wasn't
like
oh my god,
they're
do it.
No,
there's
twice
the
star power.
Like it shows, like you know, she's
just
a
one more character since they're not as major.
When she was teaming up with Cap, when she
could
rode the little
separate,
like hover
but
scooter
if you did both
thing,
together,
that
do you think that would work
right.
better?
But he
2 years ago,
that,
maybe
with, like, Buffy,
not
and
because
Firefly with
I
you know
think,
Zoe
again,
on the show there,
the bigger names,
Serenity,
and it's
well,
just how
Trey, but,
the
River on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing
like
goes.
He makes
you got a Cap,
these
and you got
so
Thor,
strong,
you got Iron Man, the big three,
and
those
and,
who are side characters
at the same time. Like they
3 years ago,
really
maybe now,
presence.
I
and
think
they can
you
hold their own
and
with
a Cap
really
go out
and
see
Thor,
that's
you know,
right.
Hawkeye,
and
that's the thing.
Iron Man,
here's what's crazy,
so
and I didn't
another
think about this today. Do you think the success
of
what will all said and be done with the Avengers movie would then?
It's just a natural thing that you see Black Widow.
That hurt the remaining movies until Avengers 2. Do you think like Iron Man 3 is coming out next May?
Oh, there's just one. Here, the Avengers
logo
six.
Runs
that
like,
kind of
you,
thing.
But
well,
I mean, just
the
expectations.
Who's the star mechanic?
The person
oh,
directing Iron Man 3's
yeah,
same
exactly.
guy,
Haley.
Shane, who
you
directed
know, got,
Kiss Kiss
it's
Bang Bang.
A female that drives
Robert
who's
Downey
the
Jr.
Hunter that's
a
saving
really
the
close
that's
friend of
really
his.
I
was reading
pound,
an interview
dude.
With John Favreau a couple days ago. He's still obviously
no, it's a high school. Former cheerleader
talking about how it's a different
stuff like that, and
it's not
done
like
to
beat it in your face or anything. It's just
mentally
the way it's done. It
and
makes
it might
look
be
like
perceived
it should
as
be
a little
that
bit
way.
Darker.
You never even question that there should have been a
stark
decision
intrinsic.
Made.
The females are
in
never
respects,
just
that excites
eye candy,
me.
Which
They but always we're are beautiful. Not, we're the blatant target but audience, but we're not really the talented. Audience.
And they have an
they're going to be kids who are going to be
three times,
watching Iron Man
really
3 and waiting
for
Thor to
again,
show up.
Again, Marvel gave him a lot to work
or
with.
Or waiting
Black
for
Captain
Captain
America
she
to
does
show up.
Have a lot of
and
history.
And when they
realize
that it's just
going to
be Gwyneth and
Robert
Downey Jr.
and
the automated variation of Jarvis.
That character to where they could make a Black Widow
probably
and make
good money with it
just based off the
way she
was portrayed.
Provided the story's good, it's not going to matter.
I think you could really
it's going to get to the point where these films
I think
between the
in
first
the wrong
Avengers
hands,
and the second one
like assault
are going to be made by the Easter eggs.
Like,
after
I hated that movie.
By the way, Jarvis
it's
on
just,
that
you know,
note,
a bunch
of flashbacks, or
like
a Bourne ripoff,
ever.
Or a bunch of flashbacks, and a lot of
nah,
you know, sureness,
with,
who am I, kind
Legion?
Of thing.
Da Vinci Code.
I
no,
Priest. You know, make
Da Vinci Code,
blah, blah,
or
blah.
Do you think you could make a Hawkeye slash Black Widow film?
What is the film Paul Bettany did that I
because
love?
Because there's shared history
the
there,
friend.
And it would give you twice
Jarvis?
The star power.
No.
But more importantly, just one
oh,
more character
no.
since they're
it's
not
a beautiful
as
mind.
Major.
Are we about to play IMDb
could
with
do
so, Paul
but
Bettany?
If you did both
no,
together,
we're not.
You think that would work better?
We're
play
2 years
later.
Ago?
Stop it.
Maybe.
No, Paul,
not
I'm pretty sure
because
it was mine.
I think, again, okay. the bigger names. And it's just it? It's just how the
K-Pax with
the,
Kevin Spacey.
This whole thing
K-Pax.
Goes.
Yeah,
you got a Cap, and you got a Thor, and you got an Iron Man. The big three. Those two are
Cypher's
to me.
And I thought about this when I rewatched
2 years ago, maybe.
Iron Man 1
today during my mini Avengers Marathon.
Really go
is,
out and see it.
I kind of don't
and that's
want
the thing.
To fall
here's
to the last
crazy.
Two.
And I didn't think about this one today.
With Iron Man
do you
movie.
Think the success
okay.
of what will all said be done with
off
the Avengers movie
narcissistic?
With,
well, he's always narcissistic, but he
that,
starts off really narcissistic.
Hurt
himself, the remaining
like,
movies until
away.
Avengers 2?
A
do you think like
of
Iron
some
Man 3,
sort
which is coming out next May?
To,
it'll be like, oh, well, there's just one here. The Avengers over six.
And channel
that
kind of
thing.
Genius slash.
Well, I mean, just the expectations
to making a huge project. Iron Man 1.
The person directing Iron Man 3 is the same guy, Shane. Who directed
Iron Man 2,
Kiss Kiss Bang
relapsing
bang.
On his father's
with
death
Robert Downey
and then find
Jr.
that secret video
a
to make
really
him
close
find
friend
that energy
of his.
Source
I was reading an interview with John Favreau a couple
Mark,
days ago. He still
armor.
Obviously exactly I don't want him to fight himself in the end. Talking about how it's a different
Coulson
vision
in
that
Avengers,
gets more to
tips
Tony
him over the
edge.
He has an argument with
mentally.
Yeah, brilliant scene, which, by the way,
is a little bit darker,
because it's a superhero movie,
more,
I hate the fact that Downey Jr. probably won't be nominated with Hiddleston
in
for
some respects,
a supporting
that
actor
excites
or whatever.
Me, right.
Actor. That
but
scene,
we're not, we're,
the one
we're the blatant target
me,
audience,
mentioned previously
we're not
with him in Stark Tower or Avengers
gonna
Tower or Watchtower.
They're going to be watching Iron Man 3
they talk about, you know,
waiting for Thor
I have
to show
an army.
Up.
We have a Hulk.
Yeah, all
waiting
that,
for
yeah.
Captain America
to show
brilliant.
Up. And when they
and
realize that it's just going to be Gwyneth and Robert
point,
Downey
me,
Jr. and
the
automated
the
variation of Jarvis.
But regardless, yeah.
That's going
to
probably
something always has
to tip him
over the edge to kick him out of that funk of him being a dick or a narcissistic or thinking of himself.
And
I'm like, okay, we've gotten that
it's
going
to get to the point where these films between the first Avengers and
the
second one are going to be made by
the
I thought they made a mistake in two, and you did too, I know, because we talked about it.
Jarvis on that note is Paul Bettany's best.
Having him like become a drunk jackass, I would still go with
that whole like fighting
Legion,
Da Vinci Code.
No,
Priest.
Yeah,
Da Vinci
Code,
Wimbledon.
Like, because you see the end where he
what
learns
is the film
this
Paul
lesson
Bettany did that I love
about being an
imaginary
arrogant
friend.
And then he
Jarvis?
Doesn't apparently
no.
because in the second film he's kind of back to being a douchebag
oh, right away.
No.
Like it's and
a
it's
beautiful
not
mind.
Even like a year.
Are we about
right.
to play IMDb
Iron
with
no,
no, we're not.
So,
we're
I don't know.
We're gonna play IMDb later.
By the way,
stop it.
No, Paul, before we skip, sure, like we kind of jumped over the outline we're
okay.
using here from we were gonna talk about Whedon to Cap to Iron Man, but we skipped over Cap.
Kevin
real quick. Speaking of Phil Coulson, Clark Gregg.
That is awesome.
How underused was he in
I thought
the new Avengers
when we watched,
Christine
Iron Man 1
today during my mini Avengers
what we have
in
the past 4 or 5 years of
I
kind of
don't
the
want
Avengers
him to fall the last
now.
2, 3 films
I've long liked Clark
Gregg
because he was in
okay.
Sports Night which is one of
he
my favorite programs ever
narcissistic well he's all but he starts off really narcissistic
the second
selfish.
Season but I love the way the guy delivers
a
dialogue
death of
he's
some
also
so
really
smooth.
Cool guy if you follow him on Twitter
basically push
like
him over
big
the edge
superhero fan.
And channel his
and
genius
that
slash
so
anger
screen.
Slash focus
oh, yeah.
into
so good.
Making
that
a huge
situation.
Project.
And he's smooth.
Iron Man
that's
1,
exactly
Yancy died
that's
at the very
like,
beginning,
yeah.
upgrade a suit,
stalker.
Gives him custom escape. Iron Man
what
2,
was great is like if you
relapsing
Thor,
on his father's death and then
scene
find
where,
that secret video to make him
Thor
find
tries to pick up
source
the hammer
make
for the first time as a mortal. Mark, what is
and
it, five
Hawkeye,
armor?
You know,
I don't want him to fight
the
himself
him.
In the end
and Clark
anymore.
Gregg, you know,
Coulson,
like, hold on.
And
yeah.
Avengers,
tips him over the edge and he has an argument
in
reverse.
After seeing the Avengers, knowing
yeah,
this scene. Which, by the way,
about Coulson's character because knowing more than movie, he's I hate the fact that hero fan, like Downey Jr.
probably
in,
won't be
in
nominated
with Hiddleston
for
right,
he a supporting
even,
actor.
Like he,
or whatever,
he really did want to see that. That scene cool to watch him, like man, they played that from the fucking beginning. Like they knew what the hell
with him in Stark Tower or Avengers Tower or Watchtower.
At the beginning of this discussion,
where
they
talk about you know,
plan.
I have an army. We
these
have a
people
Hulk.
That were involved
that,
yeah. with these
it
projects.
Is fucking brilliant.
The Marvel folks,
and
but also your Favreau's
should be
these
at some
actors,
point to me a link acknowledged in the cameo. I think that's a great thing.
Things.
But
had
because,
a plan.
Yeah,
they knew where they were going.
Something always has
he
to tip him over the edge to kick him out of that funk of him
Avengers
being a dick or narcissistic or thinking of himself. And I'm like, okay, we've gotten that three pass.
What do you think about the Avengers?
We have to get
the end of Iron Man, but
it's
evolved so much.
The worst thing in the world.
And they haven't really.
I thought they made a mistake in two, and you did too. I know because we talked about it as it happened. Having him like
and
become a drunk
the, you know,
jackass.
Another one of those Easter egg moments.
And that whole
Clark
like
Greg
shows up at the end of
situation. Is it Iron Man 2 with
yeah,
Thor's hammer? That it's just like because
a funny
you
thing happens on
where
Thor's hammer.
This lesson. Well, just the whole
about being
him being
an
arrogant clone.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
then
the
he
end
does
of Iron Man 2
yeah,
where they
the
like
second
sir,
film he's
yeah,
gotten back to being a
great.
Douchebag.
But no, if you watch
right
the
away,
Thor
like,
DVD,
it's
really
not even
funny.
Like
there's
a, year,
there's a, like
right.
a
after
2.5 minutes
Iron
long.
Man 1 for him.
It's a clip, and it really shows how badass Clark Gregg really could have been on screen. And
before we skip, like,
a funny thing happened on Thor's hammer,
we're
and it's him in a convenience store.
We're talking about
Whedon
to Cap,
and he's trying to pick between chocolate donuts and powdered donuts.
Speaking of Phil Coulson,
Clark Gregg, and trying to rob a gas station.
How
and
underused
and he's
was he
gas.
In
and
the new Avengers
scene
of Old Christine?
Is exactly how
to Clark Gregg's character is. It's
what we have
in
the past 4 or 5 years of
Booth and
the
out.
Avengers mythology
and
now.
They're like, whose
I've
car is that?
I like Clark
that,
Gregg
that's
because
mine.
He was in Sports
the
Night,
way he speaks,
which is one of my
and,
favorite
like,
programs
over here
ever.
Kind of thing. He's like, okay. He tosses the keys.
He was down towards the second
car.
Season, but I love the way the guy delivers dialogue.
The money off of
he's also really
guy.
If you follow him on Twitter.
And he like holds his gun real awkwardly.
He's a big superhero fan.
He over
plays
here
that so
the
well
guy,
on screen.
Like,
oh, yeah, it's so
I don't
good.
Do that,
that
because
situation.
Any school
yeah,
could be the chance
exactly
of gun going off. So he's like, well, slide over here. So the guy, he
what
kicks
great
it
is
over,
like, if you watch the moment
Thor,
goes where Clark Gregg
and the scene where Thor
the,
tries to pick up the hammer
across
the first time as
the guy across the aisle.
He also
and Hawkeye,
Brad,
you know,
is
holding
a
packet
of
flour,
and Clark Gregg
throws it at
you know,
one guy,
like,
and then
on,
in slow motion runs across real
now,
fast.
Now, seeing that in
kicks
reverse,
the one guy he slides
the
gun to right away,
and then beats the
hell
out of
the
other
guy,
knowing more
than
he's a huge hero fan, like in the Avengers world.
Like,
he believes
nothing,
even,
and the
girl's
like,
he really did want to
mouth
see
open,
that. And that
wide
was cool to watch him. Like, man, they played that from the fucking good. Beginning. Like, they knew what the hell they were going
to
do to this guy. You
again,
know?
Again, it goes back to the point
he's holding
we made
both
at the
pack of donuts
of
and put them on the
which
counter.
Is Marvel
like,
had a plan.
These
well,
it's interesting.
It's interesting because
you forget
the fact that
the Marvel
folks,
but also your
Favreau's and these actors. And
who has skill,
right? He's never portrayed that way. He's
had a plan.
They knew where they were going. The
we
setup
didn't
man behind Nick Fury or whatever, but
Avengers
I
come out
watch
and
like a
this
two-hour
kind of film
of like
based on
him and his own version
the
of
the
Truman
Show,
at the end of Iron Man. But it's evolved
where it's
so
just
much.
Like him hanging out
and they haven't
like
really
eating breakfast
step with any
him
of
like
these
putting
Avengers
on the suit,
tie-in
like
films that have led
looking
to the
in the mirror
one.
At one of his Captain America cards,
another,
jumping
you know,
in his car and hitting
one of those Easter egg moments where Clark Gregg shows up at the end
of
Iron Man 2
with
Thor's hammer,
theorizing the possibility of
a funny thing happens on
the way to
Thor's hammer.
By the way, the end of
the whole
which I found
him being
remember yeah, that's
where
the
actual
end of Iron Man 2, yeah, where they
is,
sir,
so I apologize
yeah,
for
which is great. But
that,
no, if you
yeah,
watch
whatever.
The Thor,
but the end of the
DVD,
article
is really funny. There's a
someone took
a
picture
2.5 minutes
of someone
long.
Else writing. In the
it's
sand,
a clip, and it really shows how badass Clark Gregg
lives.
Could have been on screen.
Like a scene on
the
beach.
A funny thing happened on
the
way to Thor's hammer, and it's him in a convenience store in the middle of nowhere.
Because
and he's trying to pick between chocolate
the
donuts and powdered donuts.
Actually
these two dudes come in
Greg,
and try to
like
rob
like
a gas
Nick
station.
Says,
and they're and
Nick
he's pumping gas.
A fucking liar.
And the whole scene
the
is exactly
tells anything
how comic Greg's character is. It's just smooth.
Three.
And
they're
like,
whose car is
that?
That
the cards
mine.
Have blood on
the
them.
The way he speaks,
we're not
and,
in
like,
his pocket.
Over here
we're
kind
in
of
his
things.
Locker.
Like,
okay.
Like Fury,
he tosses the keys
at
from
the
key.
Car.
Take the reason of
and
him being a liar.
Is getting the,
yeah,
the
but
Coulson the money off of the guys.
That,
I also
right,
heard
yeah,
this, and
liar,
he like, holds his gun
said,
a little awkwardly.
It was never going
to
work if they didn't have,
and
it cuts off.
Throw over here.
And the cops are going to say something to believe in, something to rally around.
Right,
then you hear Cody Smulders walk up and
so he's like, "Well,
tell him, look,
slide over here." So
he not kicks his jacket pocket.
He says
they
the
needed, they needed
Clark
a push. It's almost like Coulson was telling him that.
The
gun like he was
across
kinda,
the floor to the guy across the aisle. He also at the same time
like
grabs
it himself.
Like,
he's like,
"This won't flower.
This was never
going to
work unless
throws it at one guy." And then in slow motion,
like
across real fast,
him basically
kicks the one guy. He slides the gun to right away and beats the hell out of the other guy.
He knew that's how he had
in one split. Just like
I mean, come on,
it was nothing.
When did he go get a gun?
It was just just nothing. And then the girl's like,
that matter, too
fight, mouth open, wide eyed.
He kind of knew and then that he's just maybe smooth. He wasn't going to win that fight. He kind of went into it, you know,
yeah.
Couldn't choose between these. And he's holding both packs of donuts.
It was his Randy Quaid Independence Day moment.
Up yours.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. It's interesting because you forget the fact that Coulson's not a dude in a suit. He's actually military.
Like, he didn't cry.
He has
he didn't,
skills,
like,
but he's never portrayed
wallow.
That way. He's just always
he shot
kind
a god
of,
in the face.
The setup man behind Nick Fury or whatever. But I could watch like a two-hour film.
Yeah,
of,
no,
like,
I mean, there's
him in his
the
own
Coulson
version
character
of the Truman Show.
Poetic's a good way to put it.
Where it's just like him hanging out. Like him eating breakfast.
It was never made important,
him, like,
but
suit,
there were some serious
looking in the mirror at one of his Captain America cards,
jumping in his car and hitting
dies.
The shield. Some kids going, they don't even know his name.
See,
it doesn't even matter.
I read an article today that is theorizing the possibility of Coulson being alive.
Like,
and by the way,
it's
at the end of this article, which I found on site, and I cannot remember where the actual original site is, so I apologize for ruining the idea. Whatever. But at the end of the article, someone took a picture of someone else
being
in the sand.
Even Sells being on the phone listening
and
to Black Widow
lives.
Brawling.
So that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Like
a scene on the beach. But the idea that is still
so
alive
fantastic.
Because, one,
cat,
you never
the
see the medical
him,
team actually
him.
Work on Greg.
It's just awesome.
Like Nick Fury
gone,
says.
But I
two,
do think
Nick
dead.
Fury is a fucking liar.
And his character has already made it into the Marvel Universe, too. He's
in the show, and he voices his own character.
Based around his original character,
they point out the
Marvel,
fact that the cards that have blood on them
Disney's Spider-Man
were
cartoons,
not
the
in his
Spider-Man.
They were in his locker.
Right.
That Fury manipulated.
He's also made into
the
some
mini second reason of him being a liar. Again, like,
yeah, but Coulson kind of led him to that, though.
Well, deservedly so.
Like,
right.
Yeah,
it's kind of
like, a liar,
wouldn't
but
that
Coulson said
too young,
it was never
going to
work if they didn't
thing.
Have, and it cuts off, and it's obviously going to say something to believe in, something to rally around. And then you hear Kobe Smulders walk up and tell him, look, they were in the locker. Not
it's
it. It's Jack and Pocket said they needed to push. It's almost like Coulson was telling him.
Whedon.
That.
It's almost like he was kind of. I think he's kind of like Marvel and himself.
Job
he's like this was never going to work unless they had one catalyst. Him being the catalyst.
Oh no.
At the same time, like,
yeah, it couldn't have been
him
any better.
Basically.
And him, you know, having Fury basically
he felt
to save
like
him.
It was part of his plan. Maybe like he knew that's how he had
one last good line.
I mean, come on, the guy went to go get a gun.
And
big ass
Fury
that matter,
kind of the stuff that happens after
God.
The fact.
He kind of knew that.
Great way
he
for him to
leave.
And
he kind of went into it, you know.
It was just everything.
It was
just
Randy
about
Quaid
that film where I could say, man, I wish they had done this differently. The only nitpick that we've even come up with, and we both
with
shared it,
how bad
was that we wish
way,
we had gotten more
go
good guy
in
Hawkeye instead of
he didn't cry. He didn't, like,
but there's
going
to be more films to where he'll be probably, you know, he'll be a protagonist all the way through
the
film. But I hated that he was basically.
I mean, there's
Robert Patrick,
the Coulson character.
Their poetic's a good way to put it. It's
two-thirds
of that film.
Mm-hmm.
It was never
and
made important, but there were some serious tears being shed in the theaters.
The hell out of
the scene a little faster
when Coulson
I
dies, and some kids going, "Oh,
well, do you think that
they
was
don't even know his name?" It doesn't matter.
Like,
it's like
his first name knocked these guys out of the cell. You just beat him over the head.
But it's
I
just,
guess
it's
so,
just
but
so
there's
well going to
be cop-outs
like,
in a superhero
Rick
world where nothing's really believable anyway.
Like, even at the beginning
so,
of Avengers,
you know,
early on,
I guess so. You
when he shows up in Stark Tower,
and just that whole dialogue tree,
and even him, even Sells being on the phone listening to Black Widow brawling,
stuff that it wouldn't just be a hit to the face.
Like, he's just listening to hold music,
stuff like that. It's just,
right.
It's so fantastic.
That was a funny
ass his
scene
cat,
too.
The way great,
it was just it was another great
him,
line too.
It's
performance
just awesome.
Problems.
Like, I hate that he's gone, but
nine
I do think
guys.
He's dead. Yeah, it was just again,
and, his
character's
actually already made
Whedon
it into
again.
The Marvel Universe too. He's,
yeah,
he's
we can
in
tie it back
the show,
a
and he voices his own character.
You know,
based around his
original
character.
I would say one of the five biggest tragedies TV's ever seen.
Disney's Spider-Man cartoons, the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Right.
He's also made into
Fridays,
some
mini
series.
Again,
like
never really got a chance to build that the way that he could
it's
have, and now
like,
he's got a
$1 billion
franchise.
Too young, but
that's basically
the Harley Quinn
because
thing.
Of his
like,
script writer.
They're obviously not original
and his direction
of comics, but
and his
so
ability to craft
so
his dialogue with
fan
his
love
characters on screen and not let any of them feel like they're sidelined,
recognizable,
just not important to the story at all. He does it with such mastery.
Basically,
such
I think
that
kind of
just pray that
a
that
phenomenal
he's
job
and
just to let him
but
go
I hope
he did.
This leads him to get back.
Oh,
on TV.
No, yeah, he couldn't get
crazy
any better. And him,
I was
you know,
Downey Jr.
basically trying to save him
before this moment in time because, like, the way like he delivers his lines,
one last good line about they need something
perfect.
To push him,
and it's like built
and
for him like this
Fury to do kind of the stuff that happens after the fact.
At the same time, you think this
great way for him to leave.
Is it not weird that now
it was just
2 weeks into everything. The game,
there's nothing about that film where I can say, man, I wish they had done
made.
This differently. They're, the only nitpick that we like come up with, and we both shared it,
what's the word
was that we wish we had gotten more good guy Hawkeye instead of heel Hawkeye.
Kind of a.
But there's going to be, you know, more films to
like
where he'll
undertone.
Be probably, you know, he'll
only
be a protagonist
really
all the way to the afterthought. I hated
kinda.
That he's basically
yeah. like, unless
Robert
really,
Pattinson
from
Terminator
2. Buffy.
People are watching for the characters
for
don't
two-thirds
really understand
of that film.
Who this guy is that directed mm-hmm. this great film.
And
he's
not
I wish
James
that they
Cameron,
gotten to
right.
the Black
not
Widow.
Not Christopher Nolan because he's not
knocked
Steven
the hell
Spielberg.
Out of him scene
exactly.
a little faster, I guess.
That people are like, oh, yeah, the guy.
Which, do you think that was kind of an easy cop-out of, like, how do you knock these guys out of this spell?
On his own level,
beat him over the head. Joss Whedon.
I guess so, but there's
going to
be cop-outs. He's put himself in that nerd
where nothing's really
where he
already
was, but he's put him there.
So.
Put himself
you know,
in the Hall of Fame.
I guess so. You
now.
Concuss somebody,
but
you break this.
Here's what's going to matter.
Whatever it is, it's
when
going
his
on.
Next project
somebody
comes out
and magic
says,
staff
from
you
the man that
like,
directed and brought you the Avengers,
stuff that it would
Joss
just be
Whedon.
A hit to the face,
then
and
it will take
you
off.
Mm-hmm.
Because
you got a chance,
James
wait.
Cameron was not
right.
always James Cameron.
Which was, that was a funny ass
Steven
scene,
Spielberg
too.
Was great. It was just
it was
another great line, too.
Catalyst.
Performance problems. And Buffy obviously was a catalyst
out of five
for
guys.
A certain
yeah,
niche
it was
audience.
Just,
again,
basically
it was just, but that's Whedon again.
Network afloat.
We can tie
and
it back
Firefly
to him a little
just
bit
didn't
more,
work,
but it just established
you know,
a more rabid
one of,
fan base.
I would say one of the
so
five
spectacular.
Biggest tragedies
and now
TV's
you get
ever seen. Dollar
franchise,
Firefly.
Yeah, nobody's going to understand Joss Whedon. I'm not sure the way it was relegated to
John
Favreau and never really had a shot.
When they see
this
next thing he does,
really got a chance to build
that the
way
that
he could have. And now he's got $1 billion franchise.
Watch it
basically because
of his.
Then his name's going to start to rise.
And his direction.
Going to call him to do more projects.
And he's had
this
two
dialogue,
this year, both
of
which
have gotten
critical
on screen,
and not let
good.
Any of them feel like they're sidelined.
So it's just going
to
be
just not important to the story at all.
It's going to grow
he does it
from
with
here.
Such mastery.
I don't think he's an afterthought. I think he is
I
in
just
process
pray that
he's going to stick around and do a few more of those. But I hope this leads him to get back on
really
TV.
Good foothold.
Here's what's crazy to me. How is Downey Jr. not surprising before this moment in time? Because like the way like he delivers his lines, Dollhouse and Firefly and all that.
So,
but like the pacing is like built. For him, like
Avengers
Beagle, was really well done. And it was, to me,
not
a moment where I was like,
now,
oh, you know, they could have probably shortened
it again,
this up a little bit,
days
and
this,
they
over a billion dollars
like,
made.
To me, like, everything was
does it
really,
still feel like Whedon is a, I can't
what's
be
the word I'm looking
like
a,
at all with anything in that movie. Like, there was no kind of slowdown for me. Like, I was always... Not
I'm
like Spencer way, like,
I'm not sure where you're going.
Like, I was on
like he's
undertone.
Like,
oh my
God,
like,
I want
only people
like,
who really
is an afterthought.
Right.
Kinda. Yes. Like, unless
I
you were really
kind of
a hard fan of Buff, not wasted.
Watching
like,
for the characters
I gave
really
Josh Stan.
Read it,
this guy, I gave Josh this great film.
$32 he's not a James Cameron, he's not a Christopher Nolan, because he's not
Steven Spielberg. That Blu-ray
exactly.
releases.
That people are like, oh yeah, the guy who did the Avengers. No, like, again,
has this put Whedon
on his own level of being
so many,
Joss Whedon, or
not
is he
just
still like that
characters.
Guy?
Well, he's put himself in that nerd vana level where he already was, but he's put him there. He's put himself in the Hall of Fame.
Next person, let's
now.
Talk about for a second because
I
think
here's what's going to matter.
Order as far
when
as
his
like,
next project comes out, this says
power,
from
Hemsworth
the man that
Thor.
Directed and
yeah,
brought weird to me, but you're Joss Whedon.
He fit that in there really well. Like the reason why he's
because James Cameron was
not
always James Cameron.
No, like no, he came down and
Steven Spielberg was not always Steven Spielberg. There had to be a catalyst.
Me.
Oh,
and
Buffy
wonderful.
Obviously was a catalyst for a certain niche audience.
You want to see, and at times you kind of scratch your head a little bit, and you're like, "Why?"
Afloat.
Why? How did Cap
and then Firefly
survive
just didn't work, but it just established
like
a more
but
rabid
whatever.
Fan base because the show was so spectacular. And now you get this billion-dollar franchise
and
where, yeah, nobody's going to understand Joss Whedon. I'm not sure how many people understand John Favreau.
Hammer.
But when they see this next thing he does and it says from the man that wrote
the
Avengers, the man that brought you the
Avengers,
then they all watch it because of that. Then
I'm
his name's going to start to rise.
Podcast,
then people
so
are going to call him to get him more projects.
Is,
and he's had two this year, both
people?
Of which have gotten critical
like,
reviews.
You wouldn't watch
Return
of the Jedi if you haven't seen the other Star Wars
so
movies.
So it's just
going to
be...
watch... I don't know.
It's just
like,
it's
going to
grow
well,
from
Indy's
here.
Probably a bad example.
I don't think he's an afterthought. I think he is
you know, you
in process of rising to real prominence.
You wouldn't watch Breaking Dawn.
He's got a really good foothold.
Without watching New Moon.
Yeah, you wouldn't watch Harry Potter. This is not surprising if you've seen the stuff on the previous
like the Buffy and the Angel.
You know, it's just like, I don't get it.
Like,
my
Firefly
friend, I was watching
with
one time.
But, like, the pacing
watch, he's like,
of the Avengers to me was really
like,
well done. And there was, to me, not a moment where I was like, oh, you know, they could have probably shortened this up a little bit. They probably could have sped this up. They could have sped this up. Like, to me, like, everything was really, like, in the sense of making the danger and making the noble. I can't be nitpicky at all with anything in that movie. Like, there was no slowdown for me. Like, I was always, and I'm not like suspense way, like on the edge of my seat, but like I was on the edge of my seat. Yeah. Oh my God, I want to keep. Like, I've seen it now.
At the end of Thor, I was getting paid because he puts the hair on him.
I wasted a lot of money. Not wasted.
No, yeah, it's. I gave Josh friends mine. I gave Josh a lot of respect for, and they're $32, and I'll be giving them another $24.
I just don't understand why, and they don't really have any kind Blu-ray of releases. Reason to explain
so,
it to me.
There you go.
Then other ones are like, well, I didn't think this one was going to be good, so I didn't go see
again,
this one. I'm like, well, you need to fix
how
that.
How you not?
Well, man, that's what you missed
a guy who takes so many.
You missed
so
a long time ago, too, when not just Avengers was a year away from being made, and then Thor,
people to write
just coming
out,
but
the actual stars themselves. You have your Downey Jr. Next person, let's talk about for a second, because
he's not mainstream. He's
in order as far as, like, popularity and star power.
Like,
Hemsworth is Thor.
Oh, that's
yeah,
Thor.
It's weird to me, but
no, like,
you're right.
The bad he fit that in there really well. Like, the reason why he's
like,
in the movie.
Oh,
not like,
oh,
my God, like,
kids
just came out of nowhere. Like, no, he
see a hand
came down
be like, oh,
and that scene with Freedom fight was just me.
Thor as the mainstream.
Something
you
just wish for as a kid you want to see. And at times, you kind of scratch your head a little bit. You're like,
Chris Hemsworth had a lot of
how did Cap survive a bashing from Thor
like
that? But whatever. And then it was done really well with both. You know, Kenneth Branagh
and
Whedon
and some people
you
probably
did a fantastic job.
Why certain people
and
just
again,
can't pick up
dialogue
and
I guess
and,
people
and
didn't understand or pay attention to the part of the Thor.
By the way,
yeah, one of
the
first couple things with Thor where he's talking about Loki is like,
all these movies.
He's killed 80 people in 2 days.
I've already cursed enough on this podcast, so I won't go on.
Better go get them today.
But what is wrong with people? I just don't understand. Like, you wouldn't watch Return of
the
Jedi
if
you haven't seen the other Star Wars movies, or you wouldn't watch. I don't know.
And you liked the Avengers.
Well, Indy's probably a bad example.
You're still listening to this podcast.
But you know, you wouldn't see like Back to Future Part 3.
You wouldn't watch Breaking Dawn.
You can get it on Blu-ray for like
without watching New Moon.
Yeah, you wouldn't watch Harry Potter
$15
without you know watching the previous ones.
And they run on.
But you know, it's just like I don't get it because
like
my friend I was watching it with one time and one of the times I watched, he's like, man, can't hold pay that hammer. I'm like, no.
By the way,
he can't pick that shit up. He's not worthy. It's about worthiness. Cap can pick up the hammer because he's a noble.
Boy, I haven't met anybody that didn't like it.
Boy,
well, he's worthy. He, you know, like he says, make the dead, make the noble play.
They wrote,
he's, you know, he's.
Oh my God, the Avengers movie, longest movie of my life. SMH.
And I'm trying to put it because you know this more than I do.
Transformers
on that level, but yeah, can't pick it up. Obviously, Loki at the end of Thor.
If you have to complain that the
hammer was
long and you didn't enjoy it, then
no, yeah, it's.
I'm
and I've talked to a couple of friends of mine who I have a lot of respect for,
understand.
And they're, you know,
even
Thor was a terrible movie. I just don't understand
people,
why,
know,
and they don't really have any kind of reason to explain it to me. Then other ones are like,
well,
I didn't think this one was going to be good, so I didn't go see this
it's
one.
Just a
well,
good
you
movie.
Need to fix that.
You just
well,
know,
no,
that's what
you
missed
to enjoy this.
Well,
you missed
my
a
Facebook
long time ago, too, when the Avengers was
a
year away from being made, and Thor
like
was just coming out of Mass City. It was like,
lives.
Thor is the least popular
like,
of the big three,
service.
Four, if you include
and
Hulk.
It's also good
he's not mainstream. He's not someone that you would recognizably, like your kid would be like, oh, there's Thor. No, like if you see the Batman, the kid.
One of the worst films he's ever seen.
He's gonna think, oh, there's Batman. You see the Superman, kids
are
gonna be like, there's Superman. You see a hammer, kids gonna be like, oh,
entertaining at all.
Or whatever, you know, like they don't see Thor as like the mainstream. They don't, you know, it's not put in the mass.
I can't understand that line of thinking.
That's why, like to me, Chris Hemsworth had a lot of pressure.
It just
to give a lot of life
doesn't.
Into that,
yeah,
that character, and
like
it was done really well
like
with
move.
Both you know
yeah,
Kenneth Branagh and Whedon themselves.
And
each one of them did a fantastic
see,
job.
Kiss every 5 seconds.
And again,
or like
dialogue.
They're like one
and,
of the
we've
talked about
this
in
was great because
podcast where.
What was it, yeah, one of the first couple scenes with Thor, where he's talking about Loki, he's my brother. He's killed 80 people in 2 days.
They're smarter. They're potential. They're better than
yeah. No,
it's
just great. One, that's Whedon though.
The main.
Again, mm-hmm. That's the
but
same
you have
stuff that you people haven't watched Firefly.
For.
No.
You just want to sound
and
fucking
liked
smart about
the Avengers,
just being different.
And you're still listening to this podcast.
You, to that, you know
stop
what?
Listening
again,
to this
podcast. Again, I've said this before.
And go find Firefly.
To
you can
opinion,
get it on Blu-ray for like $25
you have
the whole series.
To
you can get it
your
no, $15. And I even think they're available on Netflix now, and they run on Science Channel a lot. There's no excuse for you not to watch Firefly if you
like
the
Avengers
because it's the same thing.
I don't care.
Just
I mean,
not superheroes.
That's what makes and breaks the
way,
world. And you're not, you don't have to like the Avengers. Just don't tell me you didn't like it.
Not
be able
Avengers.
To tell me why.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I
hope
met anybody. The reason why you can't
boy,
tell me
I hope
why
that person
is because
this podcast.
That movie's incredible.
Because on their Facebook post, they wrote,
I really enjoy the Avengers.
Oh my God, the Avengers movie. Longest movie of my life. The SMH.
No, that would be Transformers.
Whedon again.
Dark
but
of the Moon.
With his whole
maybe.
No, not
if you
approach,
have to complain
the
that the Avengers movie was long and you didn't
no matter
enjoy it,
who's in his team or who's against him,
I'm sad for you.
He's going to step up to
really
the
right thing. I don't understand. Like, even if you don't
I mean,
read comics
the very
at all.
First scene
people,
where he's
I know,
fighting
people,
against Loki.
Worldwide, obviously, you can tell.
Loki easily could have killed him.
Don't have to read the
comics.
He's
it's
like,
just a good movie.
Is not today.
Do you just not like good movies if you didn't enjoy this?
I mean, my Facebook post when I got home was, this is a film for comic book geeks like us that have grown up our entire lives.
Like,
this is such good fan service. And it's
when
also
just
good for people that
down,
actually like good movies. Like, that's
Man,
it. I have a friend,
one-on-one.
A close friend, in the broadcasting department, WKU, who told
you know,
me that he thought the first Iron Man
right
was
there.
One of the worst films
exactly
he's ever seen.
Exactly the kind of cap
that
needed to be.
That he hated it,
screen.
That it was so unbelievably boring, and not entertaining at all,
that
and all this other kind of stuff. And I actually thought about never speaking
to him
again.
Up to a Thor.
Because I can't understand that line of thinking.
Or a character like that.
At all.
The thing about Captain America is Captain
it just
America
it doesn't
have
but
that
yeah
there's to begin with.
If you don't like the Avengers
then
you
just
to
don't
be a
like
soldier
it.
Who believes in himself
yeah,
or
you
just hate action movies and
his
ability to
you
lead
you
and
see
people kiss every 5 seconds. He doesn't
or
ever
like
really
there's
take
they're like one of the
people
we talked about
enemy.
In previous podcast where
fledged, just like
they're just
America
being an asshole being an asshole.
When that character was originated and created
just to sound like they're smarter, they're potential, they're better than
American military.
They don't want to be part
in every conflict that we got involved in full bore,
but you have nothing
it.
To justify.
Might
for.
Get ourselves
no.
in some hairy
you just
want to
sound fucking smart about
it
being
high.
Different.
Skip Bayless never strategy with him. It was
you,
right in your face.
That,
final
you know what?
Justice.
Again, I've said this before.
You know, and all these crazy
you're entitled to your own opinion,
shield,
but
so
only to me if you
Captain
have
America
something to back your fucking opinion up with, not just to be a dumbass.
Doesn't care. That's when he's told to do a job. That's his responsibility, and he immediately sees it as
if you don't like the Avengers and you can give me good reasoning, I don't care. I mean. That's what makes
which they also
the world.
Showed
and you're not, you don't have to like the Avengers.
Banner
just don't
and,
tell me you didn't
and
like it. Not
Stark
be able to tell me why.
Going through mm-hmm. with their computers
but
and all that.
The reason why you can't tell me why
and,
is because
Tony's
that movie's incredible.
And, here's the thing too. Is another
the reason why
wow,
I really
enjoy
the Avengers.
He
I think they really got
the shit and goes into the lockers himself.
The essence of Captain America.
It shows his style
again.
But either way, it gets the job done. At the
same time,
but with his whole no nonsense approach.
Yes,
whole,
he's a guy who got his
no matter
and stuff in the bottle.
Who's
like
in his team or who's against
but
him?
Why is
he's
going
to step up to
from,
the plate to do the right thing?
Why is it stupid
and
for him
fight to the
want
end?
To go
I mean,
against
the very first
Loki
scene when he's fighting against
Man,
Loki,
to prove a point on one,
for yep. what he believes in,
and Loki easily
then,
could have killed him
in the comics,
and beat him,
Batman
and he's like, now Neil, he goes, not today.
He
flips around, kicks him in the head,
and
continues fighting on
before
Iron Man comes
in the playing field.
And that whole
shit begins. What makes these guys superheroes is the fact that they're
that was the first part of showing like what kind of character Captain is.
One of the things that.
When he just doesn't back down and even
generated
wants to fight
in children
Iron
is confidence
Man,
in who you are. That's why so many superheroes are not born
that shows,
talks
you know, the
off this show
courage right there.
Superman
that's exactly the kind of cap that needs to be
and
on
and some people not
Captain
being
America.
Made like that. But Tony Stark is just a rich, smart guy.
That don't understand why Captain America would ever try to step up to a Thor
Peter
or an
Parker
Iron Man
was just a nerd who was
or
also
character like that.
Smart. Had
the thing about
happen,
Captain America is
Captain America doesn't even
and
have that thought
and all
process
that kind of
to
stuff
begin
happens.
With. Cap, he was made to be a soldier
who
believes in himself
and
has total
confidence
and turns into
in his ability
know,
to lead
and
his ability
to
succeed.
Soldier.
And
he doesn't
then they all
ever really take into consideration the enemy. He goes
full
fledged, just like America
people,
has,
and
just like America
you know,
did
selfishness
when that character was originated and created.
Lack of confidence.
He follows
the
same line that the American military asserted that it followed in every conflict that we got involved
example,
in. Full bull, going through it.
About
might get ourselves in some hairy
ring,
situations, but what you're not going to see
things,
Cap do is
there's
hide.
No difference. All of them
it was
had
never strategy with him. It was right in your face. Final
were.
Justice.
There are very few Supermans,
you know, and all these
there,
crazy things. Throwing the shield.
Well,
so
flawed,
that
like
Captain
else.
America, who's right. maybe out of touch with
but
technology,
well handled.
Doesn't care.
Did a great job.
Which when he's told to do a job, that's his responsibility, and he immediately sees it as his duty.
Right
and he's going to go at it
like,
full
literally
bull,
right
period.
Now, and I'll give you a quiz on it afterwards.
Which they also showed in the movie, too, sure when Banner and
so that's
all,
we already
Stark
talked about Iron Man a lot.
Going through with their computers in the lab and all kind of stuff, and Tony's encrypting
Thor is the one that you
and
I,
hacking
was never
into
one of our
S.H.I.E.L.D.
while
Cap does his approach. He just breaks into shit and
Hemsworth
goes into
did a really good
the locker
job.
Himself.
He obviously attracted the female
yeah.
crowd pretty
it
well.
Shows his style
is
a
little
up, but either way, his job
done
at the same time.
And then the
movie
itself
the thing
was
about
well
Captain
done
America.
By Kenneth Branagh, who
yes, he's a guy who got
a
his abilities and stuff in the bottle, just like
long
Stark
before
says.
That film,
but
Why
when
is,
Thor
what makes
popped
it different
onto
from,
the airplane well, when he made his first appearance?
For him to want to go one-on-one against Loki or Iron Man to prove a point or to stand for what he
in
believes
the first theater
in,
I
then
to, which is obviously
in the comics,
where all the crazed
Batman has fought
fans
and
like
beaten
us
up
there,
Superman before.
So you
yeah. kind of
see
one
what the pulse
fight, where he's
of that
even
crowd
the playing
is.
Field.
What makes these guys superheroes is the fact that they're film and Thor got a huge ovation when people saw him land on the plane. And
that comics
yeah,
have generated
fans,
in children is confidence in who you are. That's why so many superheroes are not born super. We've talked
so what
off
tells
this show before about
Chris
Superman
Hemsworth
really being a true superhero.
And that film.
And some people not being made
that
like
that.
But
Hammer,
Tony Stark was just
too,
a rich, smart
really
guy.
Made Thor
who
into
had something terrible happen to him
property.
And persevered and turned it into something
that's
spectacular.
What they needed to do because, again,
Peter Parker was just a nerd who was also incredibly smart. Had something tragic happen.
Grabbed 10 people in like
or something crazy happened and unforeseen and all that. That kind
of
stuff happens.
What?
Cap
maybe
was, you know, puny kid
like,
who took part
oh,
in this
yeah,
experiment
wow,
and turns
yeah,
into,
yeah,
you know, a super soldier,
blah,
the world's first
Thor.
Super soldier. And then they all handle
well,
it
like, no one really
with
knows
different
Thor.
Levels
Most just
of responsibility
just the hammer.
To the country yeah. and to
What's
the people and, you know, varying levels
you know,
of selfishness
no really
and whatever
one,
lack
you know,
of confidence
what
they might have had earlier in their life seeping through where you have Bruce Wayne questioning himself a lot of times. And at times you have Hal Jordan, for example, brooding and wondering about himself before he gets to the ring and all these other kinds of things. But there's no difference. All of them had something that brought them to where they were. There are very few Supermans and Thors out there, I guess is my point.
Well, they're all flawed, just like anybody else. And the important
right.
thing is the very end of like that.
But Cap was
like,
well handled. Chris Evans did a great job. And if you haven't seen the first Avenger, you should be shot.
He just, you know, he saved
you should
town.
Go watch that
he decides
right now,
play, you know,
like literally right now. And I'll give you a quiz on it afterwards.
Take that last punch
to make sure that you saw it. But
quote,
so that's not, we already talked about Iron Man a lot. And then you have obviously Cap, but Thor is the one that you and I, he was never one of our favorites growing up. He still isn't, but Hemsworth did a really good job. He obviously attracted the female crowd pretty well. They put Natalie Portman in that movie and that attracted the male crowd. And then the movie itself was well done by Kenneth Branagh, who had, you know, already had a pretty esteemed resume long before that film. But when Thor popped onto the airplane, when he made his first appearance, that actually was
yeah, no,
the third
again,
largest
they,
applause
they,
of that
they
entire
did a good
film.
Job balancing. Joss did a
in
good job.
In the first
job,
theater I went to, which is obviously
everything.
The midnight where all the crazed
giving these characters
comic fans like us are there.
Been, but also
so you kind
of
see what the pulse
in their own
of that crowd is.
Super team
you get to see what it is
everybody.
That we all liked about the film.
Really
and Thor got a huge ovation when people saw him land on that plane.
Is the Hulk.
And yeah, there are Thor fans, but that's not generally who you talk about in superhero circles all that often outside of certain niche audiences. So what it tells me is Chris Hemsworth and
that
film and just the way that they did the hammer in Iron Man 2 really
yeah,
made
like
Thor into an incredibly marketable property.
I guess.
And that's what they need to
no,
do because, again, like I said,
would
you
not?
Asked
I mean,
five,
first
six
off,
years ago,
Hulk is very
you grabbed
good.
10
a
people,
people
in like a grocery store,
came out right between
would they know
Iron
who
Man?
Thor was?
The way, the
maybe
way that that all
some of them could tell you, like, oh, yeah, when I was growing up, social studies, blah, 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 Thor.
Hulk came out.
But like no one really knows Thor. Most people are just going to admit it's just a dude to hammer.
And then the Dark Knight came out.
What's special about him? You know,
so,
no
like,
one really
got
knew
lost in the shuffle.
One,
you,
you know,
it,
what the importance
really
was to him,
good.
How much history,
really
not like
good.
The traditional
Edward
history, like you would read in like a library, but for like the history of Marvel Comics, where he came
from,
like, no one. You know, you take
it
like
the
hand
of
people,
and
all
the contract disputes and everything that happened after that.
But I think what they did in the movie, they
did
a fantastic
job
of showing what kind of war he is, how much heart he has. And the importance at the very end of like that worthiness, like that self sacrifice he makes going against
the
destroyer slash Loki.
Or
he just, you know, he saved the town. He decides to say, you know, if you're quarrels with me, then take it out on me, and takes that last punch that before he, quote unquote, dies, brings the hammer back.
Yeah. Right.
And just you know, kind of like Coulson in a way where, like, Coulson's
but yeah, certainly you're right. I mean, they have to make
or about
one. They
just,
probably
just
make
got, like,
just off
confidence.
His performance in the Avengers alone.
Come at me.
The thing that intrigues me
is a god.
When he turned into the Hulk at the end.
Which,
like,
by the way, that was
wait,
funny.
Does that mean he
can
control
the Cap thing?
He's
like, I wouldn't go
like,
out there, Cap.
Not only could he
there's
just
only
turn
one god,
ma'am. He wanted
pretty
to.
Sure he didn't dress like this. Does that mean,
yeah.
like, the Hulk himself
mother knows
is smarter
that
and,
ripped.
From the scene yeah. you see in the final
Shakespeare
fight,
in the Park?
The proof would be yes.
Yeah, no, so, again,
catches,
they They did a good job balancing. Joss did a good job. Favreau, of course, helping out and everything. They did a good job of giving these characters what they should have been, but also making them all unique and flawed in their own ways to help create this super team that needed everybody to really be successful. The star of the Avengers is the Hulk. I think the answer is that's a cool evolution. It's true. I think there's a good likelihood that it is, considering
executive producers and the Marvel like, no, we are not making a standalone Hulk movie. How do you not do that now?
Right there.
Oh yeah, of course Ruffalo signs off for six films, so clearly
he's always that guy.
Yeah, but that's like maybe a cameo as him.
I guess
if that's true,
I guess
there'd be no why. How in the world would you not? I mean, first off, the other thing, Nick, is very good. A lot of people
since Hulk
it because
have
it came out right between
villains.
Iron Man, that
the
some
way
other
the way that
that
all
do,
shook down in 2009,
just Marvel
Iron Man came
in
out
general
in May
because the Avengers
the Incredible
so much
Hulk
else
came out that it gives
the
them
week
a lot
after
more
Hellboy 2
antagonists,
and then the Dark Knight came out
the following
film
week.
Again, he doesn't have to fight Abomination.
So like
again,
it kind of got lost in the shuffle. Yeah, but if you didn't see it, it's really good.
Well, happy birthday.
Really
to Tim
good,
Ruffalo,
even though Edward Norton's not obviously part of the project after all the problems that they had.
Most things you've
with
done
the extended cut and him feeling that a lot of what he wanted in there got cut out of it.
I just,
and all the contract disputes and everything that happened after that around
the
Blu-ray.
The
but
in control of it.
Yeah, Ruffalo first off did a great job. I really
was
loved
in control
his performance
of it until they send
both
him off and they do a World War Hulk.
Certainly, I really liked this banner a lot.
Yeah, that.
But yeah, now you have to annihilate everybody because the Hulk's the star of the movie. If you asked everybody what their favorite moment is, I would say 9 out of 10 would tell.
I think they still need
Hulk
to do
slamming Loki,
leader, especially Hal Norton's or movie punching kinda Thor off the screen.
Off the screen, yeah.
Towards the end,
or the whole
that would need to be the villain.
Book ass nude,
but
yeah,
you don't have the rogues gallery that exists.
Just
or
just
for example,
Penguin
is, Batman's world, or
but yeah,
like
certainly
that,
you're
so
right. I mean, they
Hulk's,
have to make one.
Hulk
they can probably make
villain,
two just off his performance in the Avengers alone.
I said at first that the thing that intrigues me now is Norton was a better banner. Turn into the Hulk at the end is like. Wait, does that mean he can control it now?
Was definitely better.
Like, not only could
I like
turn into
it
whenever he wanted to, but does that mean,
like
the Hulk itself is smarter? From the scenes that you see in the final fight, it proves to be yes, because he goes and catches Iron Man as he's, you know, falling. You know, he's aware that he, you know, is fucking with Thor by punching him around. When he speaks after slamming him on the key around, he's like,
I am a god!
In some fashion or form.
Them around, he's like, so, puny god.
Again,
yeah.
Waking up Iron Man at the end when he's like,
yeah,
you know
exactly
what that means?
Screams
you know in his face.
Well, I think the answer is
again,
that's a cool evolution if it's true. I think there's a good likelihood that it is, considering
Academy Award nominee.
That is
the kids are all right.
I'm always angry.
Robert Downey Jr.
And then he turns around in slow motion and becomes the Hulk right there.
Tobey Maguire,
like on cue,
Academy
like
Award
nothing had to set him
Wonder
off.
Boys.
He's always that guy, but he can just
kind of
keep it in check as himself.
A lot of them,
if that's true, that opens up a world of possibilities for what they could do with
that
character
response.
So going forward. The other thing they could
do these
is since Hulk doesn't have the level
of
villains
and some of the stuff he's done
that some other characters
some
do,
of it I hate,
they could use just Marvel villains in general because the Avengers
popular,
encompasses so much else
well received,
that it gives them a lot
money,
more variety of antagonists with which to make a film. Again, he doesn't have to fight Abomination again.
Right choice.
Hugh Jackman, critically
acclaimed.
Tim Roth's birthday. You got to rub that in?
What? Well, happy birthday to Tim Roth.
He
I loved you and Lie to Me. And Pulp Fiction. And every most things you've done.
Was good,
but yeah, no, I liked it a lot. No,
I
just
Jackman.
I would
like
be interested to see what they could do with
a
film where he is
in
control of it.
Rain and start screaming
like that. Or he's in control of it until they send him off and they do a World War Hulk film.
Wolverine was very good in
that won't happen.
Where he comes back and annihilates everybody.
Fuck off.
That won't happen.
No, it would be too difficult.
That scene alone, I think.
Well,
I think they still need to do a movie with Leader, especially
Hal
Norton's movie kind of leads you to that.
First Class,
towards the end.
Yeah, I mean that would need to be the
really
villain this time around.
Really,
but
more from that, to be honest,
you don't have the Rogues Gallery
January,
that exists, for example, in Batman's world or whatever like that. So Hulk isn't known by his villains; he's known for himself.
They rescheduled.
I said at first that
I thought Norton was a better banner, but that Ruffalo's Hulk was definitely better.
Look how big.
I like it all together, and again,
with the success so far,
for all the reasons we just listed
of the Avengers,
And I gotta say, you know, I was one of those when I first heard Ruffalo was taking over. Do they have to get Whedon back?
That's a stupid question.
Now I totally see it. Obviously, Marvel totally sees it before the movie came because they signed him on, like we said, six more titles in some fashion or form.
Near the quality of film that the first one was.
Again, oh no, Mark Ruffalo's gonna be typecast as the Hulk. Yeah, you know what that means? You know what that means too?
There's nobody. Ching, ching. And I mean, again, nobody. You're dealing with actors who've already had success. Mark Ruffalo is a former Academy Award nominee for The Kids Are All Right. Robbie Downey Jr., former Academy Award nominee for Chaplin. Tobey Maguire, former Academy Award nominee for Wonder Boys. All these people that have done these superhero films recently, a lot of them have history in major films that already have critical response. So if you come from those to then go do these multi-billion dollar blockbusters, I mean, look at Morgan Freeman and some of the stuff he's done in these films, and some of it I hate. You're going to end up having, if you get into a franchise that's popular, that's critically pretty well received, and makes that kind of money, why on earth would you do anything to jeopardize that as an actor? I think Ruffalo made the right choice.
Hugh Jackman critically acclaimed,
used like that.
Oscar.
Yeah.
For, what?
Exactly.
He got he got Halle Berry to show one of her titties.
Even talk about Real Steel, man. There's not all that much to
Real
say.
Real Steel was good, man.
I liked it a lot. No, I mean, I don't have a problem with Hugh Jackman. I don't like that Wolverine has become a vehicle for him to just stand in the rain and start screaming randomly.
Hey,
nominee twice now.
That's the power of Steel.
However, Wolverine was very good in First Class. One of the three
best
young talents in Hollywood, in my estimation, along with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Ryan Gosling.
That scene alone, I think for me, was better than the entire movie.
I'm excited about it. I'm definitely
that film was great, by the way, people.
But Hawkeye,
First Class,
another
is
great
excellent.
Character. And how badass was it? Every
it really
time
is. I look forward to seeing more from that, to be honest.
I think
it starts in January, or it was the Hunger Games starts in January. One of those starts filming because I know it has to do with James Lawrence there conflict. But I think they rescheduled. So I was thinking the shooting for the second X-Men movie just for Jennifer Lawrence, which is appropriately so because well, look how big Hunger Games took off.
So,
that's another. That's another story.
Well,
back
to
this though.
Yeah, because it's badass.
With the success so far, 2 weeks into almost 3 weeks of the event, where do you see it going from here? Do they have to get Whedon back? That's a stupid question.
They were like saying that his technique was really flawed.
Do they have to at this point to make money? No.
I don't care.
Do they have to have any chance of being anywhere near the quality of film that the first one was? Absolutely yes. Badass with it. Mm-hmm. Money, no. Quality, yes. There's nobody, and I mean nobody, that can handle that many characters the way that Whedon does, and it's because he has so much history with large-scale casts and Buffy, the way he's worked through the Astonishing X-Men and everything in comics, and then, of course, the cast of or the crew of Serenity on Firefly and then in the film. It's just he knows how to handle multiple characters, and if you don't understand how to deal with dominant personalities of all these level superheroes that all deserve their moment in these films, then you're going to ruin it. You're going to end up having a Spider-Man film with two villains that all that should have had their own film.
Don't let them out within the 3 mile.
And a very bad disco scene.
You know, you and me, whatever. Just not a movie altogether if it was going to be used like that.
Smash. And just that smirk, and then he runs off.
Exactly. It's just kind of like all of a sudden. We haven't even talked about Hawkeye and Black Widow, and there's not all that much to say, except we already talked about Black Widow in relation to female roles and how well handled that was. And then you look at Hawkeye, obviously Renner, again, Academy Award nominee twice now, once for The Town, once for The Hurt Locker, will eventually win. He's one of the three best young talents in Hollywood, in my estimation, along with Joseph Gordon-Levitt
and
Ryan Gosling.
Samuel Jackson just kind of keeps things
moving along. Yeah, I'm excited about it.
His
I'm
stuff
definitely
was good.
With
Powers
you on that.
Was awesome.
But Hawkeye, another great character. And how badass was it every time Renner flew out with the whole situation where he just cracks his wrist and the bow pops
out. Found out that was his name,
and the way that they had it shot to where every time he pulled back the arrow, it was just something about it. It looked natural. It didn't look fake.
It's such a ridiculous name.
It was shot in a way where he looked as skilled as you were supposed to interpret him looking, but it never looked like it wasn't real. It was so well done. I love that character.
Well, to us, because it's badass. But I saw an article a couple weeks back where somebody was being really intense. So anyway, we're archers. I'm sure they're being real nitpicky because the archer character.
I totally just lost my train of thought until we started making.
They were like saying that his technique was really flawed and it was just not natural because of that. But I don't care. Talked about
him for 20. Well, nobody ever said that he was
good enough for me. No, that's all I say.
I don't care what his technique is. I care that he's badass with it.
Just the
random.
His Legolas, man.
His fill time. Like almost everybody he's on screen with is really funny because
what was the scene at the end?
There's not really a time where like there's nothing. Where, like,
it's just like Prague, isn't it?
Anything not
you
going
and me
on,
remember Prague very differently.
Well, yeah. Downey Jr. comes down.
That sounded like Wash.
Yeah,
that line reminded me of Alan Tudyk. It just felt like you could have seen Alec Tudyk saying it, as a matter of fact.
Then like that the whole thing with Cap. And that's the thing that was so brilliant about that last scene where they actually brought the Avengers S together. Was like, Downey Jr.'s Iron Man goes, call a Cap. And he had the game plan.
Yep.
He's like, to me, I want you up there. We're Iron Man. I want you up there.
You need to
come together and bring him over here. Don't let him out within the 3 mile radius. You know, you and me, Widow, we're going to stay down, keep the fight with the perimeter, don't let anybody out.
It's rehashed over and over and over again.
Smash. It's just that smirk, and then he runs off.
It's just kind of like all of a sudden, Whedon has them all of a sudden reveal that they understand each other's strengths and weaknesses. The one-on-one dialogue. Like, you don't have any arrogance in Tony Stark at all. He's like, all right, well, I know who the military strategist here is. Nice, I know who needs to tell us what to do, and then we'll all do what we got to do. And all that kind and of then stuff. Tony Stark has to make that emotional scenes, situation at the end Black Widow, with the nuke, with the warhead coming off the deal. But and then you know Sam L. Jackson just kind of keeps things moving along with the Fury character, but his stuff was good. Powers Booth was awesome.
That's the first thing I said to you when I walked out of that movie.
Pissed me off too, because as soon as I saw him show up on screen, I started laughing. Like, because when I first found out that was his name, we were talking on the phone or something. In 7 or 8 minutes, I was crying. I couldn't stop laughing because it's such a ridiculous name.
Of this last 5 years, of what they've been able to do.
And just who's Marvel? Who spots the writer Howard's label? Like his silhouette just was pretty much making me think of Stanley Tucci. I was like, why are you in this movie? You're dead.
I was like, this makes no sense.
But anyway,
the other thing with
I totally just lost my train of thought until we started making up the first movie.
Like, see what you did?
Well, we have
see what you did?
I really didn't. I just mentioned him and talked about him for 20 seconds, and now you're using it as an excuse.
No, I was going somewhere with it because, man.
That's not the worst one, but
just the randomness of everything else that seemed to kind of fill time. Like, those, like I said, I kind of mentioned earlier with Whedon's pacing. But
no, we don't need to
there's not really a time where like there's nothing. There's
again.
Not anything not going on. If that makes sense. Well, when Downey Jr. comes down, he's fucking around with the whole like station to put a little bug on.
Bring it off.
And he's like
circle.
Covering.
You've all seen the Avengers.
Like, how serious are these things?
If not,
it's like that bad thing.
I'm spoiling some of it, but you honestly.
But how
bad
is that?
Not having seen
what
it.
What do you have to do? Like, how does that come to mind to write that in a script? To have a guy randomly play Galaxy
TV finales and.
Like,
that's,
to me, that's
the Whedon. Good and the bad.
Yeah,
I was about to say, we've said, it a million times. We might as well just name this podcast That's How I Met Your Mother. Because it is. And that's some of the other things that have been going on. It's, but it's also well done. It's not overblown. It's not a joke that's rehashed over and over and over again. As we look forward it's fresh. To it's over. And when dude goes back and plays Galaga, it's hilarious. When he like looks back to make sure nobody's paying attention, you see him playing Galaga, it's just tremendous. All of it is just the one-on-one dialogue scenes again. When you have Pepper Potts and Tony Stark having their nice little like, conversation about 12% of credit times, and, that's it. And all that kind of stuff. And just all these little scenes, whether it's Hawkeye and Black Widow or Black Widow and Loki or Cap, Thor and Iron Man or Cap and Coulson or even Nick Fury and Kobe Smulders from time to time. Like there's just always it's just there's not too much more to say, to be honest. It's just a great movie.
They stole it from
built off a great franchise,
by the way,
from a great foundation of all these wonderful motion pictures that Marvel has been able to develop and just originate into this
like
masterpiece
way,
like, of this last 5 years of what they've been able to do.
And to
like,
think the Marvel
great.
And think the Marvel label
what?
Fuse go
dude, man,
was pretty much bankrupt
stuff.
And got bought
oh,
out by
shit,
Disney.
Man. Yep.
Come on. Now
up,
you can't even think like anything but Marvel because how big this movie is. And again, DC is just I'm sure kicking themselves in the ass because they're like, well, we have animated movies.
I know. I'm gonna get to it. All right.
Yeah, their highest-selling animated movie was their first one, which is the worst one, Doomsday. Not a good sign.
It's not the worst one, but...
Was ingrained in what was going on.
Was that the worst one us? I thought we were our podcast. I thought we said Doomsday.
Gotham Knight is
LeBron
worst
James
one.
Beat Arkham City.
We may have to revisit
it.
That.
Months ago.
God, no. We don't need to revisit that. I'm never revisiting Gotham Knight again. Made me want to punch a baby. I was straight up irate. But
Ice-T, I'm not sure.
So, to bring it all full circle.
Ice-T loves
you've games. All seen the Avengers that are listening to this, I'm sure. If not, we apologize for spoiling some of it, but you honestly should have been flogged for not having seen it by now.
Ice-T on Twitter.
Loves him, just loves shooters, period. Loves again, games. Next week we're going to tackle TV and finales and
listen to John
looking at the good and the bad, Office, and the predictable, How I Met Your Mother. And some of the other things that have been going on. But and very soon we're going to do a Christopher Nolan podcast. As we look forward to probably that moment where I need to be left alone in a theater for a while.
Good to see, but yeah,
I almost need to be left alone just to watch the trailer. The third trailer. The ones before it were just kind of, I wanted more, and then I got more. And now I don't want to see anything else. Like, I just want to watch that trailer a couple more times, and that's it. I just want to go see the film.
Love how two of the three
trailers.
Who's retired? The place for the Gotham Rogues.
It's cool, man. My man's still wearing number 86, and they filmed that shit in Pittsburgh.
I'm still proud that the name that they picked for that football team is the same as my fantasy team has been for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they stole it from me.
How about you never, by the way, ever put that avatar of the unused cartoon ever again or any of our podcasts?
Oh, my God, dude. Stop hoping that goes back around.
Stop it. Like, maybe by the way, man, in like 2 weeks, we get that new DLC for Arkham City. Cannot wait.
I still got to finish that game.
What?
Dude, man, I was doing a lot of other stuff.
I don't give a shit, man. Come on.
I beat up the mission. I got the
talent. And that
I handled the penguin.
Involved with.
That's like 10%.
No, it's like a third of the way through. Through the main arc.
But anyway, we're going to do a Pixar cast coming up. We're going
to
do a TV.
I know. I'm going to get to it, right?
Do a Christopher Nolan cast leading into Dark Knight Rises. We may do a whole podcast just destroying Spider-Man 3.
Giving you the mean.
Got Flex Edition first day.
What I think, and I
was ingrained in what was going on in class and all these other opportunities and stuff. And then
LeBron James beat Arkham City. He tweeted about it 6 months ago. Even he had time.
All right, he doesn't understand it.
Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man.
Just like Batman mythology. I already care more about the game than he does, and he's finished it.
I'm not doing
Ice-T, I'm not so sure about.
Ever.
Ice-T just got a lot of time.
But
Ice-T loves games.
Loves shooting.
Oh, man, you're going
to
kill Spider-Man.
Just follow Ice-T on Twitter.
Loves shooters, period. Loves games. And if you can listen to John Mulaney's comedy special, you can hear him talking about Ice-T and making fun of Special Victims Unit. And it's a hilarious bit. That's a great, great skit. And looking forward to seeing him maybe take over the desk for Seth Meyers when Seth leaves Saturday Night Live, because Mulaney's already writing most of the Weekend Update as it is. So it'd be good to see. But yeah, so...
It's Weekend Update with... Oh, like, shit, nobody!
Yeah, bro, so, still got Amazing Spider-Man like coming up, still got Dark Knight Rises coming up, still got Brave.
Looking played.
Yeah, I got mixed up.
Marvel is such a hype right now with the Avengers. It's gonna reboot Blade.
Alright,
Triple H this time.
And on that
they're going to reboot Blade with, like, Nick Cannon.
About to die because somebody wants this thing to end on that.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, ctr.podomatic.com.
If you have any problems, there's
email addresses for the show as well.
That's put a dagger in your head so deep that you can't get
out. You just ruined my whole week. I can't even eat dinner after. I was planning on eating dinner after watching. I guess just go to sleep. After praying, and that film you just gave me like a bad memory of like a drumline scene in Blade 4.
What is it? CTR podcast.
America's Got Talent. Isn't that the one he's involved with? America's Got Vampires. But anyway, we're gonna do a Pixar cast coming up. We're gonna do a TV finales cast coming up. We're obviously gonna do a Christopher Nolan cast leading into Dark Knight Rises. We may do a whole podcast just destroying Spider-Man 3. As we look forward to what I think, and I think you agree, it's going to be a really good, amazing Spider-Man film.
I'm so hyped. In fact, that's probably my cliffhanger question for you was...
Good one.
Avengers, Amazing Spider-Man, Dark Knight, Mary Bosch. Kill, go.
I'm not... I'm not doing Mary Boff kill ever, comic book day, but I would obviously marry
signing with some artists.
Dark Knight Rises
from Vertigo in a couple of weeks, so definitely check that out if you're in the Greenville
area. I think I have to. Because if I bop Richards, if I bop the Avengers, that means Black Widow.
By the way, you have to find anybody listening that's on the picture of. It's really funny. I saw it on I Waste So Much Time or Pinterest. I can't remember. But it's two pictures. One, and it's together. One picture is Chris Hemsworth and Hiddleston at the end of the scene of the Avengers, like, staring at the back of Scarlett Johansson's ass.
Yeah.
Like, straight staring at it. It's like, bro, check out Doss ass, something like that. Then the next panel below it is Hawkeye in his suit looking at Scarlett Johansson's in her suit, straight like looking at her breasts, and it's like, nah, bro, I tell you, them titties.
All right, and on that note, I look and I see that the Skype connection's about to die because somebody wants this thing to end on that. Horrifying. I can't get Nick Cannon out of my head, folks. You can thank Andrew. If you have any problems with that, write to Tim Taylor, care of Tool Time.
Blade prequel with Nick Cannon. That's all we need.
As long as it's a prequel that comes out after my death.
Wait.
So that I never have to watch it. And if that means that I have to die next year, and that film comes out in 2014, I'm good with that. So, what is it? CTR Podcast is the Twitter, and ctrpod@gmail.com is the email. I'm Jason Martin. That's Andrew Van. This has been Certifiable Total Recall for another week. And Andrew, send him home.
All right. Well, I completely forgot the...
You know the two. You have to say two words. That's it.
And thinking about it,
Richard's Comics.
Richard's Comics and Collectibles does help. Does help make this all happen. Shout out. Richard Comics and Collectibles. Greenville, South Carolina. You follow him on Facebook. Richard's Comics and Collectibles. Richard Morgan. He's the man. Definitely the best comic vendor in South Carolina. I think he's having another. He had a great free comic book day a couple weeks ago. He's having another signing with some artists from some major books from Vertigo in a couple of weeks. So definitely check that out if you're in the Greenville area. And again, Andy, for this week of Certifiable Total Recall.
Just do a podcast about we out.
All the movies he's done.
Richard's Comics. You're a dumbass.
I would forget, didn't you?
I forgot. So you said, "Oh yeah."
I'm able to tell you other things he's done.
Damn it!
Crying a little bit. Oh, that's a good sound. Hopefully, it's not used.
Wow. Oh my god, I gotta go.
Cannon.
That's worse.
Damn you,
I'm
man.
Watch Blade, like, Cannon.
God, this shit just.
Download those comedy specials. What? You need to laugh after that because that was terrible.
Blade Dance?
Nick Cannon in Blade.
You can't name it a prequel?
No. Who wants to see Blade as a kid?
Blade Dance?
No. Remember Dumb and Dumberer?
Okay, what would you rather
Blade
have
and Blitterer? Oh, man.
Exactly.
Blade 4.
What?
Four.
Oh, they could make a Green Lantern 2, and he could be Jon Stewart.
Oh, what's a long... Damn it, there's a sequel to this Cannon mind that people are still talking about. That they
there ain't eight Nick Cannon that much, but...
Wait. Now,
cause I keep thinking of Julie.
I still haven't seen, but you've seen... American Union. Do you still want Sean William Scott as your Guy Gardner?
After seeing what?
Why do you have
American Reunion?
He's still the same dude, man.
That's what I'm saying. Now that you've seen that and he's back in capacity, do you want him as your Guy Gardner?
Or in Green Lantern 2.
I guess so.
Ben James Kilowog.
I mean, I don't have any. I don't change it. You made a good argument in thinking about it. I think it's a pretty good choice.
not Ostriker.
Come here, Poozer.
No, not Ostriker. Fucking Chris Klein's a terrible actor. He just is.
Not the Shermanator. You don't want him as Guy Gardner? He's redhead.
Just like
random ass.
Say that again.
Casting. The Shermanator. Like, oh, you don't want him as Guy Gardner?
No.
He's
right there. Throwing no. stuff out there, like not just doing Harry Potter, but doing everything.
Not at all, as a matter of fact.
That would work if we're kind of hating on the office a little bit ago. We sure. Bring up the revamp office.
Just do a podcast about Shermanator.
Yeah,
all the movies he's done.
That's
my next IMDb for you. I'm gonna stump you on that one.
Worst casting of all time.
Oh man. I can't remember.
What, me being able to tell you other things he's done? Fuck if I know. I have the whole thing saved.
Oh, man.
Julia White is Blade 4.
I'd just be like, Catherine Tate. Oh my god, I gotta go.
What?
That's worse. Yeah, I'm not gonna watch Blade, like, with his pants up to his neck.
Well, it's great, because I was watching
the What, doing the Urkel Blade dance?
And that was about 4 years ago.
Do it! Really everybody! Really do the Blade Dance! No?
Yeah. I was just like, ugh.
No.
She's kind of looks
okay,
like
what would you rather have then?
The goblin face, but she's got a huge ass.
Blade 4
ass. Like,
or the...
Yeah, but I still wouldn't want to touch
it. Oh, what's a long... Oh, damn it, there's a people in this can of mine that people keep talking about that they need to make that they really shouldn't.
Thunder,
what is it? Not Indy 5. What is it? Damn it. I can't. My train of thought just went away now. Because I keep thinking of Julia White in Blade 4 and how awesome that would be. But you just took that away from me.
Did you play last year's MLB The Show and this year's?
Why do you have to be so hateful?
I know you had...
I did play last year's. I actually bought never opened it and returned it.
Or in Green Lantern 2, Kevin James, Kilowog.
Oh my god. I don't want to see Kilowog wearing a UPS. Come here, Poozer.
Dude,
we need to do that for an episode. Just this.
Could I just get MLB
what?
The show and just have
just like
random ass bad castings.
And he goes
from like all sorts of stuff. Like just start throwing stuff out there. Like we're not just doing Harry Potter. We're doing everything.
That would work because we're kind of hating on the office a little bit ago, and we could bring up the revamp office idea.
Yeah, that's where it. That's why I said we could do a whole deal on it.
Are you only
and just like the worst casting of all time.
Oh, man. I can't even remember. I remember we said Hank Azaria as the new Michael. Can't remember the rest.
I have the whole thing saved.
Oh,
you actually wrote it down what we were talking about?
The worst casting ever, and I'd just be like, Catherine Tate.
In anything?
Yeah, just her in general.
Well, it's great, because I was watching old Doctor Who today in the back room, and she was like in season 3 or 4. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago. Somewhere along the line, someone really hit her with the ugly stick because she just got really old really fast. Like,
who did?
Catherine Tate.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, ugh.
Well, she's kind of looks like a goblin in the face now.
And the goblin in the face, but she's got a huge ass, like a big old wide ass. I was like, ugh.
Still got a decent rack.
Yeah, but I still wouldn't want to touch it.
That's right, Thunder. Just beat the fuck out of these guys. This is awesome.
What?
My Thunder up 30 on the Lakers right now.
Nice. Well, it's game one. Let's breathe. Breathe. Okay, we're good. And we're back. By the way, did you play last year's MLB The Show and this year's? I know you had...
Yeah, I did it last year. I actually bought this year's, but never opened it and returned it. Just took time to play it.
Well, I was asking Madden today because he was joking around on his Facebook a couple weeks back saying, just like in last year's show or just like in real life, something like that, my guy whiffs at every pitch or something like that because he basically is like a swinging machine. He just doesn't care. So I asked him today, I was like, if I just wanted to have fun and BS and really didn't care about updated rosters and teams, could I just get MLB The Show and just have fun with, like, the show mode?
Yeah, you could.
And he goes, yeah, because actually I enjoy 11 more than I did 12. I'm like, really? So.
Yeah, no, the show mode is just fun in general. They don't have to do much to it, and it's your character. So it just it plays out better. I've always liked that mode a lot. I agree with him. He and I actually experienced that together anyway. Like when we both first started playing that together.
Are you only batting the whole time? Or
no.
Do you actually...
Depends on what position you play. Like I played second base, and you would only show up in plays where in the field where it was coming to you,
mm-hmm.
or you were going to be involved in the play. If you were a catcher, anybody stealing, that you would do that, foul balls, things like that. So it just depends on your position as to what the game dictates that you take part in on the field.
Gotcha.
But you do both.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, no, I mean, there'd be no reason to get 12 unless you just wanted the rosters. If you could get the other one cheap, I still have. I don't even have last year's. I have like 2-3 years ago. I still have, and the show mode is still fun on there.
Yeah, because I almost got Madden 11 the other day because it's like $8.99 on PlayStation 3. But I was like, man, there's something about it though. Like I want to play with. I've never really did before, but I was like, there's something about me, like, just once those rosters, like, man, like, they have Cam Newton or Mike Vick, whatever.
Well, if
like,
it wasn't true, if that weren't the case, they wouldn't make one every year. Football's right. A different animal. Basketball, actually, I think, is a different animal. There's so many players on baseball rosters people have no idea who are, and there's so many less rookies that come in because they all go into single, double, and triple A.
Right.
So, like, every year you don't necessarily see a huge roster upgrade. You see less than 20 guys show up new.
Right.
And almost none of them really matter yet. You're not dealing with rookie of the year Cam Newton that you have to play with. You're dealing with this guy who played in Huntsville, Alabama for 2 years and got moved up and is now a starter. Like, it's not right. The same.
So, I don't know. I was thinking about it because it's like $17. I was like, I kind of want a baseball game just because it's that season.
Is?
Yeah. I was just kind of like. I was like, yeah, you know, because it's that season, and I just wanted something to dick around with when I'm just – because I don't ever play, like, an RPG, like, hours at a time and an end. So I'm just like, I only have really, like, an hour to each day to play something before I have to eat, work out, well, for, like, a short amount of time that I'm awake. I'm not working. So I'm like, fuck, I'd rather just have something to dick around with for a few hours, I'm done.
It's like I have Skyrim, and I want to play it, and I know I'm never going to.
Right,
I just
exactly.
Don't have the time. Like, I'm getting Diablo. I've wanted that for years, and I can play that for an hour at a time and be fine with it because it's a dungeon crawler. I just throw it on, have a good time with it, play it for years, and enjoy it. But, like, Skyrim, I just don't have the mental capacity when I get back, especially now, like, interning and doing all these shows, to get home and want to get involved in something like that. I usually come home, throw on something I have on DVR, or if I'm watching a series, and I watch that, pick up my Vita and play for an hour or something, and that's it.
Now, if you had the time, you would totally make Skyrim and then make a character that looks like Nick Cannon.
All right, I'm getting dinner.
Getting dinner? It's like 10:30.
Well, that's what happens when you don't eat on the right schedule today for whatever reason. Maybe I won't eat dinner. Maybe I'll just eat a light snack instead. It's 10:42 here, so yeah.
Whatever. It's cool. I ain't judging. So... All right, I'm going to take a major yes.
What?
I'm going to take a major leak. A wee.
Oh, okay.